6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
Please enter your security code.
Access. Calibrate digital audio.
Equalize it as a curve.
Set up. Complete. Initiate transmission.
Democratic Radio is on the air now.
Your country. I have a dream today.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Now here's Guy James.
Good evening, and glad to have you along with us this evening. We're going to have a great show for you, coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of gorgeous Fort Myers, Florida. Not so gorgeous today. A little bit overcast. We're getting some rain. We're getting a little wind. We're getting some clouds off of that, Christina? I don't know. Some storm out in the Gulf that everybody was talking about. Katrina. Yeah, that's it. Well, I knew I don't pay much attention to the weather forecast unless it's blowing the building down. But we're fine. And, boy, it doesn't look good for the folks up in the northern part of the Gulf, though. Somebody's going to get it, and I'm sorry about that. Hey, we've got an awful lot to talk about tonight. We've got a couple of great interviews coming your way. A little later on, we're going to have Mikey Weinstein. He's a leading critic of the movement. I know a lot of you have heard about the crazy fundamentalist Christians trying to proselytize everybody out of the Air Force Academy. Mikey's got a son there. He went there himself. He's going to talk about that. We've got Greg Rollins from the Christian Peacemaker Team, who just returned from Iraq. You want to hear the truth of what things are like in Iraq? You're going to hear it. We might mention Pat Robertson tonight. What do you think? We might mention it just a little bit. And, of course, we've got our usual catch Rush Limbaugh and a fat lie story to tell you about. You know, can you believe anybody that downs OxyContin and so much buckets full of them until his ears pop? I mean, you have to wonder about that. But he sounds a little funny to me lately, too. A lot to talk about tonight. We've got a story in our White House gossip of the week. Is Bush cracking up? We've got letters from parents of some of the soldiers. Some Fox News BS we want to talk about. How about that Gary Hart statement this week? I'm going to take a couple shots at the Democratic Party tonight. Oh, what else is new? Been throwing a few their way lately. Things aren't going the way I'd like. Going to George Bush's poll numbers. How low will they go? I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. I'll bet Dick Nixon's spinning in his grave, just having a good old time seeing somebody's numbers get down as low as his were. And the new Iraqi charter. Gee whiz, what do you think about that? All this falderall going on around, and the Shia and the Kurds shut out the Sunnis, and it's going to delay our departure out of Iraq for sure. They're going to end up slugging it out over there. Who knows? I don't know. And don't you know, Pat Boone came out against Cindy Sheehan. Pat Boone. Now, I know some of you younger folks don't even know who the hell Pat Boone is, but people my age know him. And a lot going on in Crawford, Texas. A whole lot, and we'll be talking a lot about that tonight. So, let's do. you know, you've heard that the Republicans are sending caravans to Crawford to counter-protest Cindy Sheehan's group. And as of about an hour ago, I guess not too many of them had showed up. They said there were going to be thousands of them and thousands. And, well, it just hadn't happened. But that's the way that always goes. Who cares? Let them come. Let them all come to Crawford. Every last loony, mad dog, war-loving, gun-toting, Bush lie-believing one of them. Bring them on. Bring them on, in the words of, well, you know who. The polls show us that we are firmly, and what I mean by we is we on the left, we are firmly in control of the war issue. America doesn't want it, and never would have stood still for it if they'd known the truth about it instead of the Bush lies. But now that they found out the truth, they want out. And just like Vietnam, when the country says, end it, get out, we'll do it. And this is not going to be any different. I can't see the majority of the public being snookered any longer by Bush's lies. Only the radical fringe of the Republican Party want to stay the course in Iraq. Don't you get sick of hearing that? Stay the course. They're the only ones foolish enough, or maybe I should say stubborn enough, to buy any more of Bush's BS. And we know by looking at the polls that about 30% of Americans would literally follow Bush into hell if necessary just to avoid admitting that they're wrong. Totally wrong about this illegal, unnecessary war of George Bush's. This is not America's war. This is George W. Bush's war. That's what it should be called. Bush's war, because that's what it is. Bush and his fat cat friends are the ones who started it and who are still promoting it as some sort of noble cause. Noble cause, my rear end. It isn't noble now, and it never was. We should not have sacrificed even one of our brave military people for this cause of Bush's. The whole world knew that this was a mistake, but Bush knew better. Bush knew his information was correct and everyone else's was wrong. Sure, George. Sure. And as it turns out, it was you, George. It was you who was totally wrong about Iraq. It was you who trumped up charges of WMDs and magical drone airplanes capable of flying all the way from Baghdad to New York City and dropping biological weapons. And if I recall, George, it was you who said we could end up under a mushroom cloud. It was you who said Saddam could have a weapon in a matter of days. All of this total crap you were spending, you know, spreading all over to anybody who would listen. It was known to be false by many people in the Pentagon and the State Department, but George knew better. And, of course, many of his sheep, like me Republicans, gladly went along with him. Well, now that they've been proven to be totally wrong about the entire issue, they're mad as hell. Have you noticed lately? They truly are mad as hell. Not at the guy that made them look so stupid in the first place. Oh, no. They aren't mad at Georgie Boy Bush. That'd even make them look more ridiculous. They're mad at those of us who said all along that this was wrong and Bush was lying. They're mad at us. They want to kill the messenger. They hate us for being right. They call us anti-American and unpatriotic when it is they who have sacrificed the good name of this country for a war that we could not win. It was they who marched in lockstep to the orders of a president who we now know can't be trusted to tell the truth if he was swearing on a stack of Bibles a mile high. He cannot be trusted to tell the truth ever about anything. Every major issue that has come up for George Bush, he has lied to the American people and misled them. And I defy you, any of you, to prove that I'm wrong on that. No president in history has been so dishonest toward the American people. No president in history has so maliciously pulled the wool over his people's eyes. No president in history has told lies of such magnitude. Oh, you hate me for saying that, don't you, you my folks on the right? Those of you that sent all the dirty emails this week, you hate it when somebody says that to you, don't you? I know you do. I can tell by the filth that you write in your emails, you well-educated right-wing folks who send me that you've got a couple of degrees and then you go off on a rant with the most foul, ridiculous language that I've ever heard in my life. But you hate me. Of course you do, because you can't stand the fact that I'm totally correct on this issue, and because you know that history will write the sorry chapter of Bush's presidency as a disaster. And you helped him get into office, didn't you? And guess what, my Republican friends? You helped him do it. You're just as guilty as he is for not questioning his motives. You are just as guilty as George Bush because you blindly followed his words like lemons marching into the sea, and you so willingly disparaged the names of anybody who dared disagree with George Bush. You sneered and you smeared the good name of countless Americans who dared question Bush's policy. Well, guess what? We were right all along to question him. We were right all along not to believe a word he said, because we now know that he was lying through his teeth. But you won't admit it, will you? You'll never admit it. Oh, no. You'll continue to back whatever this loser of a president wants to do, because you just can't bring yourself to admit that you were wrong. You'll continue to sell this country down the river because you just will not admit the truth that's staring you right in the face. You won't admit it. My God. Oh, I could understand why somebody would have voted for Bush the first time around. I disagreed, but I understood it. Yes, I understood it. Politics being what it was and all, after the Clinton mess and all that. I understood it. But I just cannot understand how anybody could possibly have voted for him a second time after knowing that he lied about this war. It's like getting punched in the stomach and asking the guy that punched you to do it again. And don't give me this phony baloney stuff about Bush being a good Christian man. I think by now we all know. At least the great majority of us realize by now that that is a bunch of hooey. No Christian man would behave the way George Bush has behaved. Absolutely not. And this man's the president of the United States. This man's the leader of the greatest nation on earth. This man was allowed to take us into a war? Man, it's hard to believe. And so here we are this week. The Iraqis fighting it out to get a new constitution. Bush and his people have been pushing them and pushing them and pushing them, giving them a deadline. Can you imagine if the framers of our Constitution had been given a deadline to get the Constitution done? Of course, they were allowed to do it with their own free will. The framers of our Constitution met and talked it over and over and over until they came to a consensus, with nobody breathing down their neck, nobody telling them that they had to do it by a certain time, and there was no great power looking over their shoulder saying, hey, this is what you got to do. They were not puppets of anybody. They were not the puppets of King George telling America how to have a constitution. But here we are, America over there telling the Iraqis, well, you know, you really need to do this. You need to do that. But guess what? The Shia and the Kurds that come up with this constitution, they shut out the Sunnis. And you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. And the people in Iran, the clerics running Iran right now, are looking at this going, oh boy, this is exactly what we wanted. We wanted the big trouble between the Sunnis and the Shias, because we're Shias and we're going to end up running Iraq and Iran. How good can this be? Total disaster for George W. Bush, and yet he's still out there saying, oh, we're making progress. We're making progress. Did you see the debacle of the speech he gave before the National Guard in Idaho? Oh, progress, 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 9-11, progress, 9-11, progress. Does he know how to say anything else? I don't think so. And they were lapping it up, just lapping it up. And to top it all off, he had to take sideways swipe at Cindy Sheehan while he was up there speaking to those folks in Idaho. Guy's got no shame. He's got no ethics. He's got no morals. He has no moral authority whatsoever. And you know what? He's got no political capital left. Do you remember when he said, I've got a mandate. Oh, yes, a huge mandate. I've got political capital to spend. Look at me, right after the last election, skinned by a slim margin, saying, I've got all this political capital. It's gone, George. It's gone. You don't even have any political spare change left in your pocket, George. You're the lamest of lame duck presidents there's ever been in this country. What happened to your Social Security initiative, George? You said that was number one on your initiative, on your domestic agenda. Number one. What happened to it, George? Nothing. And what's happening in this war? More Americans getting slaughtered every day. You know, it makes me sick when I think back over this war, when this started and Bush led us down the garden. Not me. Don't include me on that. Led millions of Americans down the garden path. We're going to do it because they got WMDs. Well, that's not true. Well, we're going to do it because they might have a program for WMDs. Well, that's not true. We're going to do it to... They thought up, how many reasons was it? Quite a few. But now, yes, we did it because we love the Iraqis and we want to make them free. Yeah. Let's see. We bombed hell out of them for about 11 years. We put sanctions on them that starved them half to death. And, oh, we love the Iraqis, all right. Sure we do. Sure we do. If you think that George Bush gives a damn about any Iraqi walking around in that country over there, you know. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. We do hope you'll call in tonight with your questions and comments. And you know, I'd particularly like to have a couple of the fools that sent me email this week to have the guts to call this show and ask the questions or make the comments that you made in your email, boys. Why not? Especially the one that called or sent the email that said accused Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton himself now of selling nuclear rocket secrets to the Chinese. Bill Clinton did that. He's in the office himself there, and he's, you know, guys that call him Chinese, I'd listen for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. I'm going to send you all of our nuclear secrets and everything right over there to help you boys out. Sure. People send things like that. And that's who we're dealing with. That's the mentality of the people we're dealing with. And you wonder why I get frustrated with some of these people sometimes. Send you email all week long and you know, you lied and you lied and you lied and you challenged them of what was the lie, and you know what? Never come back with an answer. Never. Well, it's your show. Call us, 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. Let's go to Diane in North Fort Myers.
Hi Guy. Hey, there's a few things I want to hit on, but I want you to know that they're overriding your station right now, again, with another radio station. They did it last weekend. I called. I let Ron know. I complained about it. And they're doing it again this weekend because they do not want... They're hoping that people tune out because of the annoyance.
Well...
I didn't know if you knew that that's going on, but it is.
No, I don't.
That's what they're doing to you. There's, you know, that's a professional station down there. But also, I wanted to put on with Cindy Sheehan. Yes, my sympathies go out to Cindy, but I would like to know what happened about Karl Rove. Where'd that disappear to? I would like to know about, you know, all I hear about is Cindy and the Holloway girl. What happened about the billions missing in Iraq? Who tried to kill Tom Daschle with the anthrax? Are we having an amnesia attack in this country on purpose? I'm hearing about made-up stories on things that Clinton has no control over, what whatsoever, such as nuclear weapons. You're not hearing how the Iraqis are already a dying country because we'd bombed the hell out of them for 10 years, and they're all dying from uranium poisoning anyway. Their children are born deformed. And that's before this war, or so-called war. I call it invasion.
There's going to be plenty of Americans and born
right now,
deformed
what is
over
happening
too.
Is we're making way for the Taliban to move in and take over, just like with Afghanistan again, and everything's rosy, and maybe bin Laden will be able to have a nice summer home there. Because I'll tell you, that's exactly what we've done to these people. We have made it a hell's nest over there, and then now we're going to walk away, because you know why? Because this pays back for Arbusto loans and Harkin Oil loans from the Sauds. And it's paying them back fully, because now it's going to be more Muslim than ever over there. And, gee, maybe we'll appoint another king like we did the Shah, or like the British did the Sauds themselves.
Well, I heard that after the, was it, who was it, Fouad, the Saudi king was over here a while back, you know.
Yeah.
Met with Georgie down at the ranch and all. And heard he went back home and told his friends that he had never, ever talked to anybody who had less of an understanding about the Middle East than George
W. Bush. Well, guess his who was George Bush's neighbor when he first bought Crawford Ranch down here?
I don't really know.
Oh, it was the bin Laden boy.
Oh.
Yeah, the, what's his name? It starts with an A, Abraham or Abu or whatever.
I don't know.
I don't know their names, but it was one of, yeah, the bin Laden boys. Yeah, he's the one that actually turned Bush on to the Crawford Ranch when he bought it, because they're buddies. And I'll tell you right now, you'd better look into this 911 thing. And now they're coming out with Abel, Strange and Abel, or whatever it is. Well, you know, you've got to really look into who was Muhammad Atta, because until you start looking at this, America, you are duped again. Because this is the biggest thing that's ever happened on the face of the earth. Yep. It's costing you a fortune.
That's right. It needs to be fully looked into as much as we possibly can.
These are patsies for the CIA.
Got to move on, Dan. Got a couple.
All right.
Thanks very much. Going to go to Frank in Naples. Hi, Frank.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
You make no sense whatsoever.
All right. Start in. Where?
Well, let's start with weapons of mass destruction.
Uh-huh.
Did not you say that there were not any found in Iraq?
Yeah, and unless you disagree with every inspector that George Bush himself sent over there, I'd say no, we didn't find any.
Yes, we did.
Wait a minute. Do you not trust, if you're a Bush fan, you don't trust him either? He said they didn't find him either.
That's not true.
No, it is true. George, hey, Frank, Frank. Don't call me up. Don't call me and tell me black is white and white is black, Frank. There were no WMDs found in Iraq. You know that. I know that. You're not going to get away with that on this program. Even George Bush admitted that.
He most certainly did admit that.
How about Brenner? How about when Brenner came back? How about every inspector that's been over there came back, George Bush's people, and said they did not find any WMDs there? You are going to argue with all the Bush people? You, Frank, from Naples, know better than all those people? Frank, you're a damned idiot. Sorry. Not going to put up with that on this program. God. What is wrong with people? What is wrong with somebody to call into a program and trying to tell them that, I don't understand. I do not. Does Frank think that we're all as stupid as he is? He bought that story, so he thinks we all ought to be dumb enough to do it? I don't think so, Frank. I'm sorry, Frank. You're just a mental midget. As are quite a few people on the right now that really believe we found WMDs. They must be hiding them. I know. We found the WMDs, and they're keeping it a secret. Frank knows that. Frank probably knows. You probably know where they're at, don't you, Frank? You probably know what they are, where they're at, and exactly where they are, just like Rummy said to start out with. Yeah, we know where they're at. Remember that when Rumsfeld said, yeah, we know where they're at. So Frank bought that deal. Hey, Frank, you forgot to listen to Bush's inspectors when he came home and said, there are no WMDs. And he forgot to listen to George Bush say, there are no WMDs. I don't understand that. I don't think I ever will. I'm sorry to those of you who have a fair amount of intellect that you have to listen to something like that, but it's good entertainment to hear somebody like Frank call. Mike, how you doing?
Guy, Bush Eats Beef from Democratic Underground.
Howdy.
How are you, my friend?
Good.
I was talking to Ron. You know, this situation with Bush being stubborn and his motorcade driving by Cindy and not talking to her or whatever, I kind of think it's a good thing. And the reason that I say that is that if you read a lot of the articles that are coming out right now, one thing that they keep talking about over and over again is that his plummeting poll points are making it next to impossible for him to carry out his agenda. And I was thinking about the conversation I had with you last week when I called in and talked about the national sales tax, and you said to me, do you really think he's going to get away with this? And I know they're going to try, but the more he keeps pulling this baloney, the more things keep blowing up on him, the worse it's going to get. There was a story earlier in the week about this Iraq mom, the Iraqi woman who hugged the mother of the fallen soldier at his State of the Union address. Now this Iraqi woman is coming out and talking about this Constitution and saying it's bad for women and they're going to get hosed and whatever. And
sure.
Everything that Bush was using for photo ops, Tammy Pruitt, this other mom, they were just hoping that she would come out and after hugging Bush and whatever and attack Cindy. And what does she do? She turns around and says, I understand exactly what she's going through.
Sure. Well, you know, Mike, a good portion of Americans now understand what the score is. I think, what, at least... 64% of the people? I think his poll numbers are down to like 36% in some places. We can take solace in the fact that a goodly number of folks in America now understand that we are under the rule of somebody who is not dealing with reality. Mike, I got to move. I got to move
right,
on. Sorry to cut you
take
short.
Care. Good to talk to you. Bye.
Thanks very much. We're going to stop for a break at the bottom of the hour. Yes, we are. And so don't go anywhere. We're going to come right back, and we're going to have Mikey Weinstein as our guest. And, yeah, you'll be interested to hear what he has to say about what's going on out at the Air Force Academy. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Guy James Show.
This is The Guy James Radio Network.
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show.
You have a product. You have a service. You want to tell people about your product or service, but you're afraid of being taken down a long road of expenses with no ride back. I'm Johnny Johnson, president of J2K, producers of The Guy James Show. Every week, we're called on to help businesses present their products and services to consumers by radio, video, and web. Businesses like yours. Visit us on the web at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're gonna like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at GuyJames at theguyjamesshow.com.
Of all the things to focus on, what is it about Bring 'Em On that so arouses them? What is it that so offends them? What is it that so irritates them?
Oh, so you little hangers-on in Iraq, so you're going to threaten our guys? Well, come on. Bring them on. We'll do. This intimidates the Democrats.
What is the big deal?
Yes, Mary.
I have a son in Iraq, and I just wanted to tell y'all, my child has a family that loves him, too.
Yes.
His little girl was just born in February. When he get back here, he'll be on your own. I'm trying to tell y'all, listen to me, please. You don't understand. We got a child there. I raised my child to be a good person. This is too much for them to die over in. In some land that they don't know about, every day I get scared. I just want to tell y'all that.
What is the big deal?
We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show.
Heather Wilkes, Mesa, Arizona. Elaine Miller, Newton, Iowa. Virginia Miller, Newton, Iowa. Dr. Irvin Winsboro, Fort Myers, Florida. Valerie Cribbs, Cherry Valley, California. Michael Bradley, Austin, Texas. Steve Brodkin, North Fort Myers, Florida. Mike DeAngelis, San Jose, California. Chris Kern, Hudson, Florida. And Mark Mihef, Reno, Nevada. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're gonna like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at GuyJames@TheGuyJamesShow.com. Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at TheGuyJamesShow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is The Guy James Show. Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is The Guy James Show.
The phone lines are open. Call 1-888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04 right now. And chime in. You're on The Guy James Show.
Welcome back. Glad to have you along back with us this evening. We've got a lot in store for you this evening. Right now, I want to go to the phones because we've got our guest with us tonight. Michael Weinstein is going to be with us. He's a former Air Force Judge Advocate General, a graduate of the Air Force Academy, and of course he's got a son there right now, as I mentioned earlier, who's in his third year, I believe, at the Air Force Academy. And he's going to talk to us tonight about a real problem that has come up, come to light at the Air Force. It turns out that the fundamentalist Christians, I guess you want to say, have been proselytizing the entire Air Force Academy out there, and it's well, it's just not right. We have people of other faiths there, and they've shown no respect for those folks. And so, Mike, are you with us?
Yeah, actually, I go by the name Mikey, believe it or not.
Hi, Mikey, yes, and we're awfully glad to have you with us this evening. And this is a story that kind of hit the news, a little longer than a month ago?
It kind of reached a crescendo over the last several months, and it's unfortunately, it's continuing to rage on.
Has it stopped?
Well, I guess the best way I could describe the Air Force Academy itself would be that that old theory about it being a flying donkey, which is to say that when a donkey flies, you don't expect it to stay up very long. With all the media frenzy, I think they're being pretty good right now. But the issue is hardly just something that happened at the Air Force Academy, because it's very reflective of what's happening in our military and our country. And it's not an issue of disrespect; it's an issue of unconstitutionality.
Explain to us how you got into this issue in the first place. How did you first hear about it?
Well, my family, we're a Jewish American family, but we have three generations of military academy graduates. My father's a 1953 graduate of the Naval Academy. My brother-in-law is a 76 graduate from the Air Force Academy. I'm a 77 graduate from the Air Force Academy. My eldest son and his wife were classmates in the class of 2004, and they graduated last year from the Air Force Academy. My youngest son is in his third year, what's called a second classman, and he's there now. In my immediate family, we have about 115 years of combined active duty military service from every conflict through World War II through the current conflict.
Well,
I've given a lot of my time to the Academy, and I was contacted about the same time that Mel Gibson's movie The Passion of the Christ came out, and the Academy was in a frenzy to get everybody to go see this movie together. There were thousands of posters all over the place, and I was actually contacted by Christian members of the faculty, just not evangelical Christian members of the faculty, asking if I could help out because, it looked like the Constitution was being trampled.
What is the interest in the Academy doing this? What were they to gain? I don't understand.
Well, you have to understand geographically to begin with, it is in Fort Myers. You know, Toto, we're not in Fort Myers anymore. We're in Colorado Springs, which is where over 100 of the nation's largest evangelical organizations are headquartered. And we think it goes back. It wasn't like that when I was a cadet, but it goes back at least 20 years. I mean,
Did I hear you right? Over 100 of evangelical Christian organizations are headquartered in Colorado Springs?
Oh, sure. I mean, the Navigators, the International Bible Society, the New Life Church, Focus on the Family with Dr. Dobson. That's the Mecca, no pun intended. That's the capital of the world of the evangelicals. So
I didn't know that. I knew Dobson was there, but I sure didn't know.
Oh, yeah. No, they're all over the place, again, which they have a constitutional right to be. But some of the things that have happened at the Academy, I mean, brown bag lunches attended by, lots and lots of senior officers, with flyers being passed out saying this is an official Air Force Academy event. Do not take this flyer down. This is officially sponsored by the Air Force Academy. Today's lecture, why we, meaning the evangelicals who are putting the lecture on, why we cannot let you have your God while we have ours. I could go on. There's a million examples. The parachute team 10 years ago, being sanctioned officially by the Air Force Academy to fly, the Wings of Blue, this is what their name is, to fly out of the Colorado Springs skies, carrying the keys of heaven. They landed on the front lawn of Focus on the Family, and Dr. Dobson gathered up their parachutes and then marched over in formation to hand him the keys of heaven. I can go on and on. The Academy newspaper, until I put an end to it last year, every year the edition before Christmas carried a full-page solicitation saying, "We, the undersigned, are here to state that the only real hope for mankind is Jesus Christ. If you'd like to come and discuss Jesus, please come by and see one of us." And you know who it was signed by?
No.
16 of the academic department heads there, or deputy heads, 9 permanent professors, the then-current dean of the faculty, the current dean of the faculty now, the then-current vice dean, the current director of athletics, the head football coach, and 250 of the other most senior adult leaders of the academy, and all of their spouses, along with 4 of the most sectarian, vitriolic quotations directly out of the New Testament. It's going on and on and on.
Nerve! I can't believe that faculty members would do this and think it was all right. Where are their heads in this matter?
Well, I had a senior Air Force official a very, very short time ago. I promised I would not use his or her name when I was discussing this just the other day with this senior official, and I mean senior official, above the grade of colonel or a political appointee in the Air Force. I can't get any more specific. This person finally, in our discussion, gave in and said, "Okay, Mikey, I agree. There's been a lot of the Constitution violated out here, but that doesn't mean any laws have been violated." And I said, What did you just say?
What
did you say? He said, "Well, it doesn't mean that any specific laws. Maybe the Constitution is being violated." And I said, "Oh my God! Every member of our armed forces raises his or her right hand and swears out an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the U.S. Constitution, not the Torah, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Quran, the Wiccan handbook, whatever you want." It was this is the mindset. And of course, the most astonishing thing of all, I'm embarrassed to have to say on your show, is that the Air Force enunciated its official policy, not the Air Force Academy, the entire Air Force, on the front page of the newspaper it hates the most, which is the probably the most visible newspaper in the world, the New York Times, just last month, in an interview on the front page. The number 2 ranking chaplain in the U.S. Air Force, Brigadier General Cecil R. Richardson, and there's like 700 chaplains in the Air Force, stated that it was Air Force policy to reserve its right to evangelize the unchurched. Now, since I'm the father of 3 kids on active duty in the U.S. Air Force, two graduates of the academy married to each other, and my other son, who's a second classman, like I said earlier, a junior there, I demand to know, do my kids fall into the unchurched, on list, kind of like the Nixon enemy list? And if so, is the Air Force going to exercise its reserve right to evangelize them? And I don't need to tell you what the timing on this couldn't be worse, since right now we're fighting an enemy, the jihadists, the insurrectionists, the remnants of the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, that already views us monolithically, as American, Christian crusaders or imperialists. And, it doesn't get any worse than this, does it? How hard is this to understand?
What does the student body think of this?
The student body at the Air Force Academy is called the Cadet Wing. At West Point, it's the Corps of Cadets, and it's the Brigade of Midshipmen at the Naval Academy. I think that our best estimates are 35 to 38% of the Cadet Wing, the cadets out there, would probably fall into the evangelical Christian category. But it's not a cadet problem. It's a leadership problem. you know, it's you have another 6,000 adults there, coaches, faculty members, you know, military officers, you know, support staff. And, you know, a lot of them feel that you know, the Air Force investigated itself and came out with a report in June saying, here's the good news, there's no overt discrimination. You know, it was kind of like a bad episode of The Sopranos mixing with Art Linkletter, kind of like, hey, the boy didn't mean nothing by it. They had a little insensitivity. They didn't mean there was nothing overt. We're confused. We need some policy. We need a little bit of guidance, you know, combined with the Art Linkletter thing of that kids will say the darndest thing. There was a joke going around the academy, widely going around, that was, you know, why is it that Jews make the best magicians? Do you know why?
No.
Because they have the unique ability to walk into a red brick building and then come out the smokestacks in a puff of smoke. You probably catch the reference.
Oh, my God.
But this is not a Christian-Jew thing. It's an evangelical Christian versus everybody else thing. I probably had 800 people come out to me anonymously at the academy saying that they were being afflicted, and so many more throughout the Air Force. Of that number, the vast majority will not even let me tell their anonymous fact patterns on the TV, radio, or the print media, like on this show, for fear that the Air Force will actually triangulate you know, those anonymous fact patterns to be able to determine their identities and screw their careers. 117 brave souls do let me tell their stories anonymously. And of that number, only 8 are Jewish. 1 is an atheist, 1 is Islamic. There are 12 Catholics, and all the rest are Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Episcopalian. You know, they're just not used to being preyed upon, P-R-A-Y and P-R-E-Y, by fellow Christians telling them that they're not Christian enough.
Well, tell me, this chaplain, Colonel Michael Whittington, he's in charge of religious affairs at the academy?
He's still apparently being investigated for reprising. Only one adult would come forward at the academy, a true American hero, Captain Melinda Morton, who resigned her commission July 31st. And she was an ordained Lutheran minister. She's also an attorney and a Ph.D. She came forward saying how horrible things were there, and helped direct me to the Yale University report. Yale University did a report last summer about the overt proselytization going on at the academy and how hurtful this was. And Whittington got the report, never sent it up to the three-star general who's the commander, who's retiring by November 1st, and he's going to become the president of the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina. Whittington is out of the Air Force now. He's still under investigation for reprising against Chaplain Morton, because she suddenly got a no-notice assignment to Okinawa, where she was told she would deploy into the combat zones of Afghanistan and Iraq at least twice. So Whittington is gone, happily. There's another guy in there now. And, you know, I think it would be a good idea if the Air Force, and Monday's going to be a big day for your listeners, for all Americans, for the first time, where there are going to be massive new religious guidelines released by the Pentagon, by the Air Force, Monday morning. And my response is, that's good, but I'm going to view those as being DOA, dead on arrival, if the Air Force is not going to recant its statement that its personal policy is to reserve its right to evangelize the unchurched.
Well, do you have some assurance that they will not recant it?
Oh, I don't think they'll recant it at all. I also don't think they'll recant the fact that the most heinous thing that came out in the Yale University report of last summer was that an Air Force chaplain got up in front of 600 or 700 brand-new basic cadets at the Air Force Academy in the remote combat training area of the academy called Jacks Valley one evening at what was supposed to be a voluntary ecumenical Protestant service, and he would leap into a fire and brimstone lecture. At the end of it, he said, I want you to leave tonight. You go over to those tents where your classmates are, the ones who wouldn't volunteer to come over here. You get in their faces and interrogate them as to what their religions are. And if they're not born-again Christians, you evangelize them. And if they reject your evangelization, you tell them to their faces that the penalty for such apostasy is that they will burn eternally in hell. Hey, that's great for our military, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Air Force gave that guy a pass. In its big report in investigating itself, the one that came out and said there was no overt discrimination, on the second paragraph from the top on page 11 of the so-called Brady report from Lieutenant General Brady, himself a self-confessed born-again Christian. We didn't know that till after the report came out. He states that that was okay to do that because this gentleman happens to be a member of the International Church of the Four Square Gospel. The Air Force Academy still refuses to admit that that incident happened, although it happened in front of 700 eyewitnesses and 7 members of Yale University.
Let me ask you.
By the way, I just want to add one thing. That chaplain who did that, he was the reigning Miss America. He was the U.S. Air Force's selection for Chaplain of the Year.
Oh, well, that leads into what my question was going to be. I know you said this is not a Jewish Christian problem amongst the faith. But has this whole problem fermented and come to light? Has it been more prevalent since since all this talk of our president being a good Christian man and all that being in the press so much, you think they're turning a blind eye to this because
I think there's an absolute relationship between the fact that I spent over, I don't think you mentioned, I spent over 3 years in the White House with President Reagan. I was one of his lawyers. My last job there was, I was assistant general counsel of the entire White House Office of Administration. Back in those days, the Christian fundamentalist right wanted, their big goal was to get one SWHO, senior White House official, that would have the ear of the president. They abandoned that years ago because they've got the president now. They've got both houses of Congress, and with Rehnquist, running a fever, and Senator Day O'Connor gone, I was on staff briefly with John Roberts Jr. We barely even knew each other, but I am not at all against anybody celebrating gloriously and comprehensively whatever religion or no religion they want. They just can't engage the machinery of the state when they do it. And there is a fundamentalist religious right contagion sweeping this country. And I hate to quote a very famous anti-Semite, but T.S. Eliot, the man whose the famous Broadway play Cats was based upon his poems, he made a statement that is so apropos here, which is, the world shall come to an end. The world shall come to an end. The world shall come to an end, not with a bang, but a whimper. All of these things happening, if we don't respond to the bangs, by the time we have any, we realize what's happened, there'll be nothing but a whimper left. And, we buried the matriarch of my family here in New Mexico about 7 or 8 weeks ago. She was 91, and she was a Holocaust survivor. I'll never forget what she told me before she died. She said, don't give this fight up, Mikey, because I remember when we were living in Berlin in the late 1920s when all of the Jews had to have, suddenly one day, all of the same alphanumerics on their license plates. And then they passed a series of other laws. Jews couldn't congregate in groups of more than 50, then 30, then 20, then 12, and eventually they couldn't go outside at all. All of these little things happened. They were all bangs, and by the time we realized what was going on, all we had left was a whimper. So what I'm trying to say to everyone out there is, I'll quote a good Republican in his presidential acceptance speech in 1964 at the Republican convention. Barry Goldwater stated, extremism in the pursuit of liberty is no vice, and that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue. So I'm asking people, stop being moderate.
Yes.
Get a little extreme, contact your representatives, go to your school board meetings, because let me tell you something, if we lose control of our military, it's like the miner's canary, to the fanatical Christian Taliban that is trampling over everyone's constitutional rights. I'm not saying anyone has any, this has no negative implications at all for anyone celebrating any faith, but it's just, if they're going to destroy the Constitution while doing this, if they can do it to the military, what chance does the local school board have, or the local, the water department, or any part of our government? It's like LeBron James. You would never have him leave the Cleveland Cavaliers and go back to playing junior college basketball, or Michelle Wee, being on our high school golf team in Hawaii. I mean, it's the same thing. We can't lose this fight for the military. It's serious. I know it's a Saturday afternoon, but this contagion is sweeping our country, and it starts right up there. It certainly isn't helped at all by George W. Bush, who got back from Pope John Paul II's funeral and told the press that he now knows that clearly, without any doubt in his mind, that the Lord sent Jesus Christ, to earth to be our Savior. Hey, way to be neutral, W. Great job.
Oh, yeah. And then we got Pat Robertson wanting to run the State Department now and decide our foreign policy.
Well, I mean, he's going to decide who we're going to assassinate.
Yeah, yeah.
As I said before, this is the problem, we actually do have those 16 golden words in the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law with respect to establishing a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And it used to be that a good part of America lived happily between the free exercise clause and the non-establishment clause. But that happy land now is being brutalized, assaulted, tortured, and bludgeoned into a poisoned no man's land. And it's happening inch by inch, foot by foot, yard by yard, mile by mile every day. And you get this bad sense that we're starting to get the transition from what I call Plan A to Plan B. Plan A is when evangelical Christians ask nicely to please accept Christ the way that they view Christ, and they'll ask for an hour, a day, week, year, 10 years, 50 years, 100 years. But inevitably, Plan A always morphs into Plan B, where they stop asking so nicely.
Yes.
And there are examples in history, the Inquisition, the Holocaust, but for 1,400 years before the Inquisition, there was plenty of that going on. Plan A shifting to Plan B. When do we know about it? What are we supposed to do about it? As I said before, listen to the bangs that are going off, because they're going off all over this country right now.
Well, and more and more Americans are blind to the fact that we should never say never.
Exactly.
That you see that every day in American life. Not, that'll never. What you're extreme. That'll never happen. And then it does, and it's too late. And
well, there's that sense that one group, one specific group, wants to impose their biblical worldview on everyone else. And their view is that we have something called the Officer Christian Fellowship in the armed forces, and their stated goal for the Air Force, the chapter of it, is to see a spiritually transformed Air Force with ambassadors of Christ in uniform. I don't think that David's, how could the Supreme Court say this any better than they did 7 or 8 weeks ago when those two Ten Commandment cases came down? And the one in Kentucky, writing for the majority, David Souter stated, look, here's our guiding principle for our government and for our Supreme Court. We must ensure governmental neutrality between religion and religion and between religion and no religion. Now, how hard is that to understand? And then I go back to the Air Force Academy holding brown bag lunches attended by all of these senior people, why we cannot let you have your God while we have ours.
Well, Mikey, if this were a war, I hate to characterize it in that fashion, where are we right now? What's going to be the outcome of this matter?
Well, I would say that we are very similar to that movie Dances with Wolves, where we have pitched armies on either side of the battlefield. This guidance is coming out, which will be very pretty language, Monday morning, just a few hours from now, from the United States Air Force. But my view is that I think we're very close to a federal lawsuit on this. It doesn't matter how pretty the words are. If the Air Force is not going to recant that its policy is to do what they say they're going to do, how would people feel if the Air Force said, we reserve the right to convert to Islam anyone that we decide is unchurched? I mean, how would that come across?
Right.
Because there is no difference. There's no distinguishing of that as a matter of law. And, from what the other statements were made, it's not like, the evangelical triumphant Christians are the good guys and the rest of us are, as Ann Coulter would say, we're traitors.
Well, Ann Coulter, don't bring her name up in my show. I've listened to you talk now for about 20 minutes, and I've heard not one inkling of unfairness on your part whatsoever. You've stated over and over again, this is not a battle about religious ideologies. This is about the Constitution and so forth. And I can't imagine anybody being more fair about this than
you. Well, let me just say one thing. I want to thank you for your nice words. And in answer to your first question for this interview on your show this evening, 6 months after I was getting into the Academy, my youngest son asked me to come up to the Academy. He wanted to talk with me. I met with him. He said, Dad, we need to go off base. I'm very upset. And, this is a kid who never gets upset. He's a tough kid. He was the city wrestling champion here. And we went to a McDonald's. And, of course, no parent ever wants their kid to say, look, there's something I need to tell you, but I can't talk here. We sat down, and I said, what is it, Curtis? And he said, look, Dad, I need you to tell Mom, and I need you to understand also that I'm probably going to be getting into some very serious trouble, and I may be getting court-martialed, and I wanted you to be aware of it. And I said, what did you do? And he said, it's not what I've done, Dad. It's what I'm about to do. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And he said that the next person that called him an effing Jew or accused he or his people of total complicity in the execution of Jesus Christ, he was going to beat the S out of. And, I was one of these guys who was born without a temper. I don't have one. But this gets very, very personal when in the year, that was 2004, you're finding out that one of your kids are being tortured. It turned out in a number of different places, that a number of different cadets, in a number of different, venues, for their religious beliefs. You might as well just, and then we have, I think it's Robertson or Falwell putting out millions of these voter kits saying, I vote Christian, bumper stickers. Why not just say, I vote white, I vote male?
Right.
And people forget it's not just the First Amendment, it's also Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution, which states that anyone who takes a job in the legislative, executive, or judicial branches will have to swear out an oath or affirmation to the Constitution, not to the Bible or the Quran. And it also states that a religion test will never be required for anyone who has a job there. So Falwell and the others are basically asking fellow American citizens to create a religion test. We vote Christian, yes, which is violative of the U.S. Constitution.
Well, let me ask you. We've got just a couple of minutes left. Does Curtis suffer any recriminations over this at all?
No. They are at this point, I think they're afraid of his big Godzilla daddy. And they're honestly trying. I mean, the people at the Air Force Academy now are, when someone sneezes, someone's afraid to say God bless you. It's ridiculous. I was there for all my 4 years. This was not an issue. It's not a question of, there's a certain amount of common sense. I mean, right there in the South, not that far, from you, but in Biloxi, Mississippi, there's a larger training installation. The Air Force Academy is the third largest in the Air Force. The second largest is Keesler Air Force Base, and the commander there is a gentleman who just got his second star is my classmate from the Academy, General William T. Lord, has a much larger training installation than the Air Force Academy. Large numbers of Islamic, Hindu, Buddhist, you know, everybody is there. And at his base, the way he runs it, the atheists and the Wiccans are as happy as the evangelical Christians, the Jews, and the Buddhists. So, anyway, how hard can this be?
Exactly.
And that's not like that's in, you know, in Massachusetts, Northern California. It's in the buckle of the Bible Belt, Biloxi, Mississippi, that he's doing this.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah, amazing. Well, that is. That's quite a testament right there. Mikey, I'm so glad that you came on and explained this rather complex problem to a lot of folks. I know some of our listeners had an inkling of what it was about, but you've explained it so very well, and I do want to compliment you once again of being more fair about it than I thought anybody could possibly be.
Thank you very much for your kind words. I really appreciate it. It means more than you know.
And thanks so much for being our guest tonight on the Guy James Show.
Take care, Guy. Be well.
Wow, quite a story. Hard to believe something like that's going on at the United States Air Force Academy. I wonder about West Point. I wonder about Annapolis. I wonder. I don't know. If the Pentagon's coming out with these new rules, I think they'll probably all be affected from now on. It's hard to say, but that's a really interesting interview. Most certainly very, very interesting to me. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of noise in my headset here. Now, you are too? Okay, a lot of sorry. We'll get that figured out over the break. We're going to stop here for a moment or two. We trust you'll be with us when we get back. We've got an awful lot to talk about. And you are listening to The Guy James Show, Wink WNOG, 1240, 1270 AM, Fort Myers, Florida.
You've been listening to The Guy James Show, America's number one democratic radio talk show, counteracting the melodrama and sarcasm of the radical right. All that's left is the truth. Stay tuned. More of The Guy James Show is on the way. This is The Guy James Show on Wink WNOG.
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is The Guy James Show.
This is a very sensitive subject. Not good. It's bad. Yeah. From the moment I heard Barbara say I had a son, I knew that I'd be safe cause I'd never be alone. We GOPers shouldn't speak a lot about our feelings. Both hurt and pain don't make us too appealing. I'd hope Junior would look up to me, run the business of the family. Have an evil empire just like his dear old dad. Get him out of Vietnam, that doesn't look too bad. Junior should act like he's a good guy. Finish up my war and cover up his lies. Be evil and show no feelings too. Listen to DeChaney, who'll tell him what to do. Junior's in jeopardy. Carl Rove, see? Cut him off. Treat him unfairly. Nothing else matters. Oh, siree. Nothing else but the legacy.
George, what are you doing? Are you, what are you doing, George?
Sorry there, Dick. Just,
What, George, what are you doing?
Singing my son a little something. Well, he'll get to see it. Hopefully he'll get a chance to see it. Know what you're all about.
You have a product. You have a service. You want to tell people about your product or service, but you're afraid of being taken down a long road of expenses with no ride back. I'm Johnny Johnson, president of J2K, producers of The Guy James Show. Every week, we're called on to help businesses present their products and services to consumers by radio, video, and web. Businesses like yours. Visit us on the web at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're gonna like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at Guy James at theguyjamesshow.com.
We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Ann Ross, New York, New York. Luciano Rossetti, Cape Coral, Florida. Alice Knowlton, Milford, Massachusetts.
Dave Goggin, Eureka, California. Annette Fenner, Marysville, Washington. Joe and Nancy Vogel, St. Paul, Minnesota. Juan Puerto, Fort Myers, Florida. Sarah Kay, Santa Fe, New Mexico. And Marcia Johns, Merritt Island, Florida. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
Helpful marketing tip number 201. If your audio production company puts you on hold and you hear either Muzak or some generic
"We really appreciate your call"
message, you may not want to trust them to produce your message on hold either. J2K Productions. We just do it better. Find out how at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is The Guy James Show. Democratic Radio is on the air now.
Country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Now here's Guy James.
She was just another American mother, lost her son in the war. Death is hard when it goes so young. When they die for nothing, it hurts even more. The greatest love is the love of a mother. Out of a substance, the body is formed. Out of her dreams, the soul goes walking. Sometimes a dream dies hard. God bless you, Cindy Sheehan, for walking this road you are. Many more sons may live a little longer, even though your son is gone. The president lied to his people. It ducked when his time came to fight. He's a man without honor or any regret. And justice will gather him, yeah. You may think God's not watching, but we're living proof God is real. Yeah, sometimes God wakes up in people. That's something you see and you feel. God knows our country is troubled. God sees our leaders are blind, and God is speaking to the love of a mother. Open your heart and your mind. God bless you, Cindy Sheehan, for walking this road you are. Many more sons may live a little longer, even though Casey is gone. The president lied to his people. He ran when his time came to fight. He's a man without honor or any regret. And justice will. And God is speaking to the love of a mother. Open your heart and your mind. God bless you, Cindy Sheehan, for walking this road you are on. Many more sons may live a little longer, even though Casey is gone. The president lied to his people. He ran when his time came to fight. He's a man without honor or any regret. And justice will gather him, yeah. Oh, yes, it will. I don't always know what the truth is, but a lie isn't that hard to see. Whatever is living in this woman's heart, I hope it'll wake up in me. The rich and the powerful tremble when the truth appears at their door. One simple woman in a state of conviction, and look, I see 10 million more. Yes, look, I see 10 million more. God bless you, Cindy Sheehan, for walking this road you are on. Many more sons may live a little longer, even though your son is gone. The president lied to his people. He hid when his time came to fight. He's a man without honor or any regret, and justice will gather him, yeah. God bless you, Cindy Sheehan.
Cindy Sheehan, had to play that for you. I knew you'd enjoy that. A lot of folks have heard it, and I heard it this week, and I thought, you know, I'd be way off base if I didn't play that for my listeners this week. I want to talk about Cindy Sheehan this half hour, quite a bit during the rest of the program, you know. And I'll get to the back to the phones in just a moment. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. You know the drill. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you this evening. And you know, I've held my tongue all I could this week. It's been very exasperating. I know. A lot of you wonder, why do you put yourself through this? Why do you listen to the right-wing programs? I think in order to be informed about what's going on, I have to subject myself to that. And don't you kid, don't you fool with me, all my listeners out there. You know you do too. Some of you listen to them as well. We shouldn't support them, but we do listen to find out. You know your enemy. What is it? Keep your friends close and keep your enemies closer. That's from The Godfather, I believe. And it is frustrating. And all week long I've heard the extremist right-wing radio hosts, both local and national, bash Cindy Sheehan. They've used every trick in the book. And I really believe they're more angry at her than they were at Richard Clark, Joe Wilson, and Dick Durbin all rolled into one. And what does that tell you? Really, what does it tell you? Why, of course, it tells you that they are worried. It tells you that they are afraid. It tells you that they're downright petrified that Cindy Sheehan has awoken the slumbering American public and caused them to think about this war. And they know that since Cindy has started her vigil at beautiful, scenic Crawford, Texas, Bush's poll numbers have taken another dive. So they think that by demonizing this woman, they'll make her go away. Think again, my extremist right-wing friends. Think again. I talked to Cindy Sheehan at great length a couple of weeks ago, had lunch with her and discussed this whole matter. She's the real McCoy, warts and all. She's a typical American mom. She couldn't be any more typical, who loves her country and mourns the loss of her son, Casey. Her son, who was, by the way, promised by the military that he'd be a chaplain's assistant, but of course they reneged and put him on the front line. That sort of thing happens in the military, you know. But anyway, while discussing this whole matter with Cindy, I became absolutely convinced that she was speaking with complete conviction about this war. She looked me in the eye and told me how it feels and how she feels and why she feels betrayed by the Bush administration. And allow me, if you will, to brag that no one has ever looked me in the eye and fooled me. No one. This woman was speaking with passion and the conviction of someone who's been wronged. She wants accountability from our government, and one way or another she will get it. She won't go away, and she should not. It didn't start out this way. but she's become a spokesperson for millions of Americans who have not necessarily lost a child to the war, but feel they've been lied to by Junior Bush and his people. If others feel differently about their loss, then fine. People disagree. But to demonize this woman for her action is not only un-American, but it's morally unacceptable. Make no mistake about it. It's fear, and fear alone, that's driving her detractors. It's fear that they will be exposed for their wrong-headed and harmful views on this war. They can disagree with her as much as they want, but to treat her the way they have this past couple of weeks is positively reprehensible, and they know it. I've heard the attacks by the OxyContin kid, Rush Limbaugh, and Hannity, and that sexual deviant Bill O'Reilly, and Mike Gallagher, and Mike Savage, and the others. Even sweet, lovable Ann Coulter attacked her. Yeah, that's the same Ann Coulter who the other day accused the people of New York City of being cowards. That Ann Coulter. They're all saying Cindy is a tool of MoveOn.org. Now, that's interesting to me. Who is MoveOn.org anyway? Is it some group of ultra-rich people pulling strings on the whole democratic political process in America? I don't think so. MoveOn.org is made up of, I think, about 3 million regular old Americans. That's all. Regular American people, people who want what they think is right and good for America. That's who MoveOn.org is. And they want to paint MoveOn.org as the boogeyman. How ridiculous. So Cindy is a tool of the people by being a tool of MoveOn.org. How are we supposed to think that's bad? And oh yes, Cindy being a novice concerning speaking to the press, she's made some missteps. But by and large, I think she's done a really admirable job of speaking her mind and bringing the war to the forefront of the conscience of America, and I applaud her for doing so. It took a lot of guts for her to do this. And I really believe she may well someday be known as the Rosa Parks of the anti-Bush war movement. And don't forget, this is the Bush War. I'm no longer going to call this the Iraq War. This is the Bush War. We should all call it that, because that is what it is. He wanted it from the day he came into office, and he took the first excuse to go ahead and do it. He was waiting. He was waiting for an event. The Progress for a New American Century group said we needed a Pearl Harbor-like event to start this into action. And they got it. And George Bush, their lackey, took their marching orders and took us to war in Iraq. A war with no possible good outcome for anybody. 2,000 dead Americans to get rid of a dictator that we used to sponsor ourselves. 2,000 dead Americans because George Bush says we love the Iraqi people and we want to help them out. Yeah, right, George. You've convinced almost no one of that. And I think your poll numbers show it lately, don't they? Don't they? Well, let's go to the phones and let's talk to Julio in Fort Myers. Hi, Julio.
Hey guy, what's going on, man?
Good to have you with us.
Hey man, I called about Frank earlier, but now that you mentioned Cindy Chan, I wanted to say something about her real quick. It's just funny because I listen to right wing media all week too, because there's like really no other choice out here. And it was funny on Hannity, you know, he comes out and he says, well, Cindy Sheehan is being used by all these, you know, left-wing people and all these right-wing people. Oh, excuse me, all the left-wing people, and she's just a pawn, and they're just using her as a voice because her son was dead, and that if her son wasn't dead, nobody would care about what she thinks. And then, like, as soon as he finishes that sentence, he brings a parent on who is for the war, whose son is dead, and it's like hypocritical. It's like you're doing the same thing you're complaining about. And it just reminded me of that quote, I forgot from who, it was from some Republican guy who said that what we've done is we've been able to create a market where, you know, we can criticize people for being unobjective and yet be as unobjective as possible ourselves.
Exactly. And you're it's a very astute observation, Julio. You're right. That's exactly what he was doing. And if I may interrupt you just one second here, you know, there was a Sergeant Victor Lorience, I think I've got his name right, of Seymour, Tennessee, that was killed not long ago. and is from California. And she, you know, no, he wasn't from California, from Tennessee. But anyway, the mother of this soldier said, she didn't speak for me, referring to Cindy Sheehan. She did not speak for me. But her son was killed. And then now she says, concerning Cindy Sheehan, she didn't speak for me, now she does.
Yeah, it's not until it affects your family that people start caring. And like what I wanted to say about Frank was, like, I heard this quote a while ago, and it was something like, the sane can become insane if the insane became the majority.
Yeah.
Okay, and it seems like there's a group of people in this country who wanted to go to war with Iraq no matter what. And they're crazy, because they just wanted war regardless of whether or not there were weapons of mass destruction. And what they managed to do was convince half of the public that we were under such a threat and scare the crap out of half of the public so bad they went along with them, and all of a sudden the insane became the majority. And little by little, like, that's dying off, and now these people are, you know, being proven to be, like, what they are. And that's why they're going after Cindy Sheehan so much. And like, that guy Frank calls, and I'm like, and I know he still has to be listening. At this point, to believe the Bush administration, you have to be a conspiracy theorist. Like, you have to believe that Joe Wilson, Dick Clark, Paul O'Neill, John O'Neill, Lindsey Graham, General Szymanski, General Wesley Clark, General Colin Powell, Bob Graham, Chuck Hagel, Michael Shear, who was the head of the CIA unit for Osama bin Laden, Human Rights Watch International, Amnesty International, the American Red Cross, the International Red Cross, David Kaye, Larry Johnson. All these people are lying. They're all just making it up. They're all a big liberal conspiracy theory to try and overthrow Bush to do what?
Exactly.
You know, that's the question. What is the goal? And it's like, you have to be at a point where you believe the entire world is just hates Bush and just wants to get rid of him. Could it be possibly that he was wrong, okay? That they were so busy trying to figure out whether or not they could invade Iraq that they never stopped to think, should we?
All right, let's take a look at this situation. What is the aim of those on the right with this war? What is the objective of this war? It was to take over the Middle East and control the natural resources there, most namely oil. All right, let's say that is it. Right, let's give them any reason they want. Let's just give it to them. Let's concede it. What are the people on the left objective here?
Exactly.
What is it?
Exactly. What is their agenda? What is the grand scheme? You know, and like I asked you last week, what policy have they put into place to interfere with the president's plans in this war? Democrats have no power. The left has no power in this country. And the biggest problem, and it happened in the last election, was that the Republicans have actually convinced people that it's the Democrats in power now, not the Republicans, even though they control our entire government.
They most certainly do. They most certainly do. Julio, thank you for your call.
All right, man, take it easy.
Very good to hear from you. Yeah, you have to wonder. They keep throwing the slime at the Democrats, all the right-wing talk show hosts do, and the Republican fat cats and politicians. What is the agenda of the left here? What is it? Does somebody want to tell me what it is? I know what the agenda is on the other side. It's war profiteering and control the oil and so forth and take over military might in the Middle East. What is it that the right is accusing the left of? They are saying, we want the power. We want the power. Well, to a certain extent, that's true. We do want to guide our own destiny and guide the destiny of this nation on a proper course rather than following the course we're on right now. So what is it we're up to? What is it we demons on the left want that is so sinister and so anti whatever the right wing? What is it? What is it? What is it that Ted Kennedy and Hillary Clinton and all the people, Barack Obama and all the people leading the Democratic, what is it that is so sinister that they're up to now? I don't know. I wish somebody would tell me. Let's go to Dave in Northern California. Hi, Dave.
Well, Gary, thank you for standing with Cindy. I think that was an excellent thing to do. And I also wanted to commend you for the manner in which you handled the first neocon goon caller today. You did not allow him to waste a lot of your time trying to spread his disinformation. I have been trying to, I guess, analyze, understand where some of these right-wing callers are coming from. I'm convinced some of them are true believers. They sit in front of their particular radio station and are told that they have superior morality because of their views, and they're told how to think, and they are told to call progressive talk shows, pretend that you are a Democrat, but you're becoming a Republican because of some, you know, manipulate, disinform. Their purpose is to do that. Anyway, I think they are, some of them, really suspicious of Ascendi because they are being programmed. They know that they're being told how to think. They know that they're being pretty much guided by this Rush-Rovian approach. And I think they think, well, that must also be happening with the progressives. And you know, I hear you saying, what, you know, you expose us to reality. You do not program us. And that's typical of all the progressive talk shows. I think they're encouraging us to think. And when you look at our own parties and you see faults, you put them right out in the front. And that never happened with the Republicans. There's, how do we market our product? I'm rambling on here a bit. I hope I'm making sense. But.
Well, no. And you know, Dave, this particular week, I'm looking for this gentleman's name, and I can't find it here in my notes today. But this week I saw the talking points come from the RNC, and something appealed to me one day, and I had to look it up. I cannot think of the guy's name. I'll get it for you next week if it's that important. But
a Republican right-wing talker?
Well, a gentleman from the RNC. The RNC sent out a memo to the staffers of the congressional staffers and the Senate staffers, and invited the staffers and the congressmen and senators to come in and take lessons on how to talk on talk shows and on TV shows. What to say and what not to say. Don't ever think while you're being interviewed, they said. Automatically discard this kind of a question. Do not answer it. Stall for time on this one, and if you must, stall. And he gave this whole list of things that he was going to teach all the staffers and the congressmen and Republicans now, and what he was going to do. And so I called the RNC office. You know me. I'm a bit of a, you know, I like to cause a little trouble now and then. So I called the RNC office and asked for this guy, and they hooked me right up to him. And I said, "Hi, this is Guy James, and I understand that I was reading the memo that you sent around," and I had read the memo to the Republican congressman about coming in for guidance on how to talk in the media to the staffers and to the congressmen and the senators. He said, "That's right." And I said, "I wonder if you'd come on my radio show and tell the public about that." And there was a long pause, and he said, "Well, I really don't know anything about you, and I don't know if this is for general consumption of the public, but let me consider it, and I'll get back to you." Well, I didn't hear anything for a couple of days, and so you know me. I called back, and I said, "You know, I didn't hear anything from you, and just waiting for you to let me know if you're going to come on my show and tell us about this training program you're going to have for Republicans going on the media." And he says, "You've got to be kidding. I'm coming on your show and talk about this. Why I must be crazy." And he hung up the phone. So I guess they didn't want us to hear the brainwashing that they do to those folks. And they do sound like robots, don't they?
Well, you see, now there you're dealing with a fellow who consciously knows that he is a closer. He's trying to sell a bill of goods, a very bad product. He's trying to market to the unsuspecting public. He knows that.
Sure.
He is not a true believer. He is. He's got an incentive, an inducement, financially probably,
sure,
to market this bad product, and that's what he's going to do. He's going to tell people to come in and learn how to lie, and he'll teach them. They got to know that's, you know, at some point, I think all these neocons that you hear from must know they are being told how to think. If they could get away from that for a little while and have a thought of their own, they might able to go in a better direction.
Well, look what Newt Gingrich did to all of them. Newt Gingrich programmed them all, told them what to say, sent out the list of words to use and words not to use, and Newt Gingrich did that. So they're used to being programmed like that.
Yeah.
Well,
wonderful,
it's a
program, and thank you so much for being there, Guy.
Dave, thanks so much for being with us. It's good to hear from you.
Take care.
Always good to hear from Dave in northern, beautiful Northern California, a beautiful place. I hope it's nice where you are today. Got a lot more coming up for you after the bottom of the hour here. We're going to have an interesting interview with Greg Rollins. He's from a Christian Peacemaker team that has just returned from Iraq. And if you want to hear what really goes on in Iraq, why, he's going to let us know. He's going to let us know all about his Iraq diaries and things that he's written about what happens over in Iraq right now and the real truth. You might have your eyes open to some of this because, as a lot of you know, as a lot of you heard from Mr. Bush, for example, lots of progress in Iraq. We're making a lot of progress. And 9/11, don't forget 9/11. Did I mention 9/11 every time he gives a speech? A lot of progress and progress. Since 9/11, there's been a lot of progress, and we'll probably make progress till 9/11 of this year and 9/11 of every year. And don't forget to get your 9/11 cards at your local greeting card store. So, Bush, you just can't go without mentioning 9/11. He's propped his entire presidency on 9/11. Now he's stuck with it. What a thing to be stuck with. I don't envy the man. I really don't. I would not want to be in his shoes, knowing that about at least half the American public can't stand to look at him. Probably 75% of Americans can't stand to hear him talk. Now, I'm right about that, aren't I? All my right-wing friends listening? And I know you're out there right now. Some of you are sitting by your radio drooling and swearing and everything. But you know I'm right. Don't you? You can't stand to hear him talk either, because he sounds like an uneducated, well, I won't go on, but you know what he sounds like, don't you? And you can't be real proud of that, can you? No, I don't think so. Even those of you that like to remind us that he's the most highly educated president ever, I don't think so. Hey, we're going to pause for some words at the bottom of the hour. We got a great interview when we come back. You're going to want to hear this, the true story on what's going on in Iraq. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. You're listening to The Guy James Show, and we'll be right back after these words.
This is The Guy James Radio Network.
She was just another American mother, lost her son in the war. Death is hard when the girl's so young, when they die for nothing, it hurts even more. The greatest love is the love of a mother. Out of a substance, the body is formed. Out of her dreams, the soul goes walking. Sometimes a dream dies hard. God bless you, Cindy Sheehan, for walking this road you are. Many more sons may live a little longer, even though your son is gone. The president lied to his people. It ducked when his time came to fight. He's a man without honor or any regret, and justice will gather him yet. You may think God's not watching, but we're living proof God is real. Yeah, sometimes God wakes up in people. That's something you see and you feel. God knows our country is troubled. God sees our leaders are blind. And God is speaking to the love of a mother. Open your heart and your mind. God bless you, Cindy Sheehan. For walking this road you are on. Many more sons may live a little longer, even though Casey is gone. The president lied to his people. He ran when his time came to fight. He's a man without honor or any regret. Justice will gather him, yeah, oh yes it will.
always know what the truth is, but a lie isn't that hard to see. Whatever is living in this woman's heart, I hope it'll wake up in me. The rich and the powerful tremble when the truth appears at their door. One simple woman in a state of conviction, and look, I see 10 million more. Yes, look, I see 10 million more. God bless you, Cindy Sheehan, for walking this road you are on. Many more sons may live a little longer, even though your son is gone. The president lied to his people, he hid when his time came to fight. He's a man without honor or any regret, and justice will gather him yet. God bless you, Cindy Sheehan.
The Guy James Show. The phone lines are open. Call 1-888-602-7500. 7501-0203-04 right now. And chime in. You're on The Guy James Show.
Hey, glad to have you back with us this evening. Early on this evening, promised you to hear from our next guest. It's going to be a fascinating guest. You know, we've heard from people in the military. I've read you many letters over the years or two from folks who have come back from Iraq, or parents or family, and it's always good to hear the personal experiences in Iraq. But we're going to hear it from a different perspective now. Someone that's not looking at it from a military point of view. Someone that could give us what I consider to be just a totally unbiased look at how things really are in Iraq. And I have not questioned this man about, I've not coached him, and you know that. I would never do that. But I don't know what he's going to say about how things are in Iraq, and I'm willing to listen no matter what it is. And right now, from the Christian Peacemaker team, I'd like to introduce to you Mr. Greg Rollins. Greg, are you with us?
I am. Thanks, Guy.
So glad to have you along with us, and you know why I invited you along tonight. I wanted to hear from the horse's mouth, as it were, just how things are in Iraq and why, and your whole perspective on the whole business over there right now. Could you please first tell us a little bit about your organization?
Sure. Christian Peacemaker Teams, or CPT, was inspired by a speech that a Mennonite by the name of Ron Sider gave, where he said that there would never be peace in the world unless people, civilians, put their lives on the line for peace, the same way that soldiers do, but using peace instead of violence, using peaceful methods. So a group of Christians, at that time it was Mennonite, Quaker, and Church of the Brethren, got together and started this organization, CPT, where small teams would set up in very hostile places like Iraq and try and be peaceful presence, witnesses to violence, try and start friendships, start dialogues, just do whatever they can to try and deter violence. And so over the years, we've had teams in Chiapas, Mexico, Haiti. We currently have a team in the West Bank in Hebron, as well as Colombia and in Iraq.
Very good. Very well, the Quakers and the Mennonites and all, not exactly a liberal organization, I wouldn't say.
No. Over the years, though, we've really expanded out, and there's a lot of Catholics, a lot of Protestants in CPT now, too. We still kind of say Mennonite, Quaker, Church of the Brethren, but it's kind of in the history now. It's all denominations.
Sure, sure. Well, very, very familiar personal history with this. A lot of Mennonite folks. Had a lot of Mennonite friends in my early days, and
right.
Know a lot about those folks. I want to hear from you. How are things going in Iraq?
Well, whenever I'm there, I always say to the people, the Iraqi people, what do you want me to tell people back home? And quite often, in the last year, I'd say they've really been saying, well, you know, you have to tell them about the infrastructure. There's no water. When I left, our apartment was receiving 3 hours of electricity a day from the city. We have a generator, but everybody has to have generators because there's no electricity. There's no jobs. Unemployment is around 50%. And then, of course, there's no security. And people really lay it on thick about the security, saying, you know, under Saddam Hussein, you knew where you stood, and you knew that if you stepped out of line, you know, something would happen to you, so you didn't step out of line. But now the violence is so random that I can walk down the street and I can get killed, I can get shot, I can get kidnapped, I can get arrested for doing nothing. And they're deathly afraid of being arrested, whether it's by the U.S. or by the Iraqi security forces, the police or the army or whoever. Those are the things that Iraqis are really talking about and really suffering from right now. I mean, there are other things they're talking about. They're talking about the Constitution, and there's a lot of interest in the Constitution, and there's a lot of interest in government there. People in Iraq love to talk of politics, and they've got a very good idea of politics there. But I think what is hurting the people there the most right now is just the infrastructure.
Well, tell me, do you have any knowledge? You mentioned 3 hours of electricity per day now. Do you have any knowledge of how much electricity they had before the war started?
Before the war started, no, I can't really say. I've been told various numbers. Most of them were around 8 hours or 9 hours. And when I first got to Iraq on this previous visit in May, that's how much we were getting. We were getting about 8 or 9 hours a day, and then sometimes it would go down to as few as 4, and back up to 8 or 9. But it would always go up and down. They were getting more before the war.
Do most families have a generator?
I would say probably half. A lot of families don't, and they'll share electricity with their neighbors. Their neighbors will give them, a certain amount of watts that they can pipe in and, run a light bulb and a fan, which is very important. I mean, fans and air conditioners in the summer where the heat is just, up in the hundreds.
Well, how plentiful is fuel to run the generators? You're talking about gasoline generators?
Yeah, they're gasoline generators, and the good part is that fuel is really cheap in Iraq. The bad part is that there's a fuel shortage there. And you'd think that's kind of funny because, Iraq has all this oil and one of the major oil producers, yet they have a fuel shortage. And there are lineups that are for the gas stations that are, 2 miles long, a mile, 2 miles long. And you can get it off the black market, but, it's going to be cut with water or something else, and it's going to be more expensive. So it's really hard to get gasoline there.
Well, I was corresponding with an Iraqi person not long ago, and they told me that one of the last things they wanted to see when they walked down the street, that something that scared them more than anything, was to run across the police or the Iraqi National Guard members. Is that your experience there?
Yes, definitely. The Iraqi police, the Iraqi National Guards, the Iraqi Special Forces.
These are the people the U.S. Armed Forces are training.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
They will just drive down the street, with their horns blaring, sirens blaring, shooting in the air, and, everybody just runs up to get out of their way because they don't want to get hit by these guys or shot at by these guys. But the Iraqi security forces don't really seem to have, I want to say, the same sense of morals that others might, but everybody knows that if you get arrested, there's a good chance you're going to get tortured. And there's also a chance that you might not come back, that you might disappear. I've talked to families who have had their loved ones, their husband or their brothers or their sons, arrested by the police, only to have the police call them up and say, we'll release them if you give us $20,000. And one family I talked to couldn't give $20,000. They were able to gather $10,000, and they gave they all the instructions, dropped $10,000 off where they were supposed to. They were told their brother would be released, and he showed up in the morgue 2 days later.
Wow, what a story.
And, we've been hearing that a lot of these bodies that are showing up, you hear on the news 20 bodies were found in the countryside outside of Baghdad. Everybody, they were all shot in the head. And often the Iraqi government says, well, no, that this was the this was Zarqawi, or this was al-Qaeda, or this was, some militant group. We've been hearing a lot of stories now that, no, it's not militant groups. It's actually the Iraqi security forces that are doing this.
I've heard them explain many times that they'd rather be, if they got in trouble and were arrested, it wouldn't necessarily have to be in trouble, but they'd much rather be arrested by American forces than the Iraqi National Guard members.
Everybody says that. Yeah, everybody says that.
And these are the people that Donald Rumsfeld is bragging about that we're training.
Yeah, and on top of that, they're training courses. I mean, in the U.S. Army or in any army in the world, you know, your training is quite extensive for army or police. Yet here in Iraq, the army or the training is extremely short. It's, you know, several week training, and then they throw you out into the streets. And a lot of those people are inexperienced. They're really green, and some of them are just, you know, their self-esteem inflates because they have a gun in their hand. I mean, there's all sorts of different reasons for these guys joining the armed forces and the army and whatnot. But, yeah, in the end, they like the power and they do whatever they want.
Well, what about the insurgency or what about the, you know, the firefights that happen? You know, we're hearing constantly that all of the enemy that the American forces are coming up against and the Iraqi forces are coming up against are outsiders from outside of Iraq. What do you know about that?
Well, I think there are outsiders from outside of Iraq. I think that you have a hodgepodge of different militant groups, different people. I think some of the people that, you know, the army or the Iraqi, the U.S. Army or the Iraqi army is coming up against are probably just random criminals. I think there are others that are outsiders. I think some are probably, you know, Baathists of some sort. Some are, you know, trying to just start gangs, whatever. I mean, I don't think there's one specific answer. I think there's a whole bunch. But I think that, yeah, outside sources are a part of it, and probably one of the more dangerous parts of it, because they don't really care about Iraqis. They have an objective, a goal, to cause as much disruption and as much chaos and, you know, to kill as many coalition troops and its allies as they possibly can. So they don't care about Iraqis too much.
Well, one of the problems being, when, like you mentioned earlier, when Saddam Hussein was in power, they knew who to look out for, and now many times they have no idea who to fear, and that must be very disconcerting.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I was reading something you wrote. I found most interesting. It is a very recent article in your Iraq Diaries called "The Other Iraq." I would urge everybody. Can you give me that website right offhand, where that's at?
Well, you can probably find it at our website, www.cpt.org. CPT as in Christian Peacemaker Teams. org.
Do you want to? Can you explain to us without me going doing the whole article at length? Can you tell me what you meant by the other Iraq?
Well, the other Iraq. What I meant by that is there are two Iraqs. There's the Iraq that you hear about from George Bush, from Donald Rumsfeld, from all these different leaders, and I would say even media as well, certain media outlets. The Iraq that, you know, had the nuclear weapons, the Iraq that, you know, had to remove Saddam Hussein. And I'm not saying that I supported Saddam Hussein. I didn't support the way he was removed, but the Iraq that you know, doesn't have depleted uranium or doesn't have a problem with depleted uranium, the Iraq where the army is the Iraqi security forces are, you know, upstanding citizens and its politicians are honest. And I mean, there's that Iraq that you hear about on the news all the time, and then there's the Iraq that the Iraqis know, the Iraq that has all these problems, that has no water, no jobs, that didn't have nuclear weapons, that, you know, has a problem with the soldiers. Those are the two Iraqs, and Iraqis are always asking where this other Iraq is, the one that George Bush talks about.
Well, we've seen precious little of it on the airwaves here in America, and I wonder where it's at myself. I suspect I know where it is. It's a figment of George Bush's imagination in most cases, and I feel we've been propagandized over this war more than any time in my lifetime, most certainly.
Yeah, I think a lot of propaganda went into making this war happen, and for whatever reason, I think there's a plethora of reasons as to why this war happened, but it took a lot of propaganda, and I think a lot of people bought into it, especially in the U.S., In Britain, I don't think as many people bought into it, but it was the important people, or the people that maybe that counted, that bought into it. and same with other countries, in Spain and Portugal and all these other countries. I mean, a lot of the people around the world didn't want to go to war, yet their leaders did. And even here in Canada, I mean, Canada, you know, Canada did not send troops to Iraq, but what we did instead was we sent more troops to Afghanistan, which freed up troops from U.S. troops from Afghanistan to go to Iraq.
Yes, yes. Ann Coulter tried to convince everybody recently. Ann Coulter, are you aware of who Ann Coulter is?
I think so.
Okay, well, she's a very right-wing extremist, and she was giving a talk, I believe, in Toronto not long ago, and she was chiding the Canadian audience that she was talking to for not helping us in Iraq like they did, and the good part about this was she did not helping us in Iraq like you did in Vietnam, and the audience started laughing. And she didn't understand why, until they challenged her. Wait a minute, we didn't go to Vietnam, and she didn't even know the difference.
Yeah.
Well,
I didn't hear about that.
I think the Canadian government had the good sense not to get involved in this debacle. What do you see in the near future for Iraq? What do you think is going to happen?
I think it's going to continue to go like this, the way it is now, with the amount of violence and the level of violence and, you know, the U.S. claiming they've captured X amount of insurgents, and they probably will capture insurgents, but I think the way it is now is the way it will continue for, I can't see it changing in a year. I know that we have that the Iraqis have a constitution on the table and that they have elections coming up, but let's face it, you know, the militants are not going to say, well, Iraq's got a constitution now, let's pack up and go home. They're not going to care. And the same thing with the new government, you know, the Iraqi people could, you know, vote 100% that a new government comes in, and you know, the militants aren't going to care. Plus, you do have the factions. You have the Kurdish, and you have the Sunni, and you have the Shia, and then you have the Iranians who are slowly coming into the mix now too, and trying to, you know, take sides. And I think that's going to cause a lot of trouble too. Whether it actually explodes into civil war, it's hard to say. And what kind of civil war? There is the threat of a Sunni-Shia civil war.
That's one thing I wanted to ask you. Average Joe and Mary Iraqi that are out there, got a couple of kids and trying to make a living, just trying to make ends meet somehow, how to feed the family.
Yeah.
Is this a big concern to them, the problem between the Shias and the Sunnis?
It is. Yes, it is. And yes and no, I would say. Certainly in the winter, I heard a lot of that. I heard a lot of fear and a lot of worry about a Sunni-Shia civil war exploding. This past summer here, I still heard it. I didn't hear it as much. Whether that is because Iraqis are no longer afraid of it, whether they've kind of acclimatized to that level of threat or that threat level, or they have they don't believe it's going to happen, I couldn't quite figure out. Because, you know, you do become acclimatized to a certain level of danger after a while.
Well, you know, here in the U.S., if the Methodists and the Presbyterians had a little skirmish going between them, I don't think it'd be an everyday topic in somebody's house. But in Iraq, with the Shias and Sunnis, it's a much bigger deal than that would be here.
Yeah, but there's also the threat of Kurdish and Iraqi.
Yes, yes.
Because the Kurds, I mean, they've really been screwed over for so many years. I mean, ever since the First World War, governments, Western powers have been saying, "Oh, if you help us, we'll give you your own country."
Right.
It's never happened, and I mean, they could really just get sick of it this time and say, "No, it's going to happen." And they've got a huge army in the hundreds of thousands.
Well, I don't know how the Kurds could ever believe anybody again.
I don't know either, but I think that they really hope that they are going to get a country this time.
Yeah, well, I think they are thinking that. You know, Greg, it's been fascinating talking to you, and I want to encourage everybody. I know one website called electronic iraq.net. That's just the way it says, electronic iraq.net. You will find Greg's articles on there. Fascinating reads, really, and you will get a lot of information on them, that even more information than Greg's provided us here today, and well written articles. You are a very fine writer, Greg.
Well, thank you very
much. And I want to thank you so much for being on the program today, sharing your insight into what you've seen in Iraq. It's something we all need to know, we all need to consider, and I thank you so much for being on our program.
Well, thanks for having me, Guy.
Thank you.
All right.
Oh, the Iraq story, where's it going to end? And how's it going to end? I guess that's the better question. The money, you know, I think a lot about this, and I think a lot of you do, too. I hope you do. I hope we don't all go about our daily chores and our daily jobs and our situations and never think about this, because it's important. I think we're inclined to do that, to kind of put it in the back of our minds, because not all of us have a family member there. It's not like the Second World War when literally every family was touched with having a member in the military and so forth, and even to some extent Vietnam. But this one is being fought with so many fewer people that there's not a sacrifice on the part of the American public, and it concerns me that because of that lack of sacrifice, a lot of people aren't taking this seriously and understanding the ramifications of what this may mean to the entire Middle East situation and to the world. And I think a lot about it, and I think the money and power people who put this administration in power has an agenda from which they're not going to back down. And that agenda, of course, is to control the remaining global resources, especially oil. Iraq was a start, and then Iran and Saudi Arabia and Nigeria and Sudan and Syria are all next. Make no mistake about it, that is the plan. Whether or not they'll be able to carry it out is another story. The Democrats haven't really offered a realistic approach to what I would say is normalcy in the Middle East, and they desperately need to address the real agenda of the Project for a New American Century and the New World Order gang. Those people are in control right now, or else trying to be in control. And, you know, maybe the U.S. should consider turning Iraq over to a Muslim force. I wonder if anybody's thought of that. Turn that country over to a Muslim force from other Muslim countries, maybe from Saudi Arabia or Pakistan or Turkey, and let them have their country, their land, their lives, and their oil. But, you know, they won't do that either. I don't see that happening, because that'd be the rational thing. So can we rationally expect George Bush to reevaluate what he never bothered to evaluate in the first place, is my question. That's like asking water to flow uphill. The fact is, George Bush was inserted into the presidency exactly because of his stupidity. He's kept in a pathetic, cliche-ridden fog of some sort of aggrandizement and false patriotism by his handlers, and make no mistake about it, Karl Rove is the main handler, so that they can carry out their crimes of massive, and what we've now learned is massive, war profiteering in Iraq. How else do you explain what is going on there, the missing $9 billion in cash? $9 billion in cash. The hiring of only American contractors. The contractor payout of millions of dollars of work not even started, much less completed. The partitioning of Iraq oil reserves between international oil companies, read American, really. The theft of Iraq's infrastructure and on and on and on. Iraq today is, let's face it, it's a candy store for corporate theft. That's exactly what it's been for friends of the Bush administration. No, George Bush has never been known to ever change what passes for his mind in the best of conditions. And there's tremendous monetary incentive to continue down the same road. And after all, it's been very, very good for businesses of the friends of George W. Bush. The only answer at this point, the only alternative that has a chance of keeping America from going over a cliff with Iraq in tow right now, is to remove George W. Bush and his co-conspirators from office by impeachment and probably criminal indictment. And I think a case can be made very definitely for both. Then maybe we can show good faith to the Iraqis. Bring in an international peacekeeping force. Bring the Iraqi bureaucrats back. Bring them back to do what they do best. The guys that ran the sewer and the water and electricity, bring those people back. You know, rescind all the reconstruction contracts and reissue them for open bidding to include the Iraqi people. Some people have got this mistaken impression that those people are out of the dark ages, and that they built their own infrastructure. They didn't hire outsiders to do it. They actually have engineers there that know how to build bridges, buildings, sewers, and electrical grids. So bring them in, and other Middle Eastern contractors, and hire Iraqis to work on those projects. They need the jobs. Halliburton doesn't. Someone else said it well. A person is much less likely to blow up their own country when they have a job there, money in their pocket, and hope for the future. Right now, with all the jobs going to Halliburton, KBR, all the money flowing right back into the pockets of Bush's cronies and friends, how can the Iraqis ever feel good about it? How can we ever expect them to feel good about it? They know the score. Do you think in the homes of Iraq this isn't being discussed? Why don't you have a job, Habib? Because, well, they're bringing the Americans in to do the jobs and paying them thousands and thousands of dollars a week. And who's paying for that? American taxpayers. What are we doing about it? Well, a certain percentage of the American people aren't doing anything about it, and you don't care either, do you? You think it's a good thing that Mr. Bush's cronies are literally sopping up all the money in Iraq, all the money for construction, all the money for rebuilding, robbing and pillaging that fund like you wouldn't believe. And here, 36% of Americans think that's just dandy. I have a hard time accepting that. I have a hard time accepting the fact that Americans are that, I don't know what the word is. I hate to use the word stupid. But I really do have a hard time thinking that large a percentage of 36 or 37, 38% of the people just don't care. They just don't care. That's not America. That's not the way we think. It really isn't. Well, we got the top of the hour coming up. You are listening to the Guy James Show on 1240 and 1270 AM, WIC, WNOG, Fort Myers, and Naples, Florida. And we're going to be back with some more interesting talk right after this.
You've been listening to Guy James Show, America's number one democratic radio talk show, counteracting the melodrama and sarcasm of the radical right. All that's left is the truth. Stay tuned. More of the Guy James Show is on the way. This is the Guy James Show on Wink WNOG. Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show.
Helpful marketing tip number 103. If you have a web designer, a graphic designer, and a search engine optimizer, you may be spending a lot more than you're making on your website. Remember that any web designer worth their salt is already an expert graphic designer and an SEO all in one. If not, you may want to consider changing design firms. J2K Productions. We just do it better. Find out how at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
We at the Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Heather Wilkes, Mesa, Arizona. Elaine Miller, Newton, Iowa. Virginia Miller, Newton, Iowa. Dr. Irvin Winsboro, Fort Myers, Florida. Valerie Cribbs, Cherry Valley, California. Michael Bradley, Austin, Texas. Steve Brodkin, North Fort Myers, Florida. Ben and Suzanne Williams, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Chris Kern, Hudson, Florida. And Mark Meehef, Reno, Nevada. To join the growing list of those that support the Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
Of all the things to focus on, what is it about Bring 'Em On that so arouses them? What is it that so offends them? What is it that so irritates them?
Oh, so you little hangers-on in Iraq, so you're going to threaten our guys? Well, come on. Bring 'Em On. We'll do. This intimidates the Democrats. What is the big deal?
Yes, Mary.
I have a son in Iraq, and I just wanted to tell y'all, my child has a family that loves him, too.
Yes.
His little girl was just born in February. When he get back here, he'll build you home. And I'm trying to tell y'all, listen to me, please. You don't understand. We got a child there. I raised my child to be a good person. And this is too much for them to die around. In some lands that they don't know about, every day I get scared. I just want to tell y'all that.
What is the big deal.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at GuyJames at theGuyJamesShow.com.
Helpful marketing tip number 302. Even though you may be paying for full color, the average person can only assimilate four or five easily. Rather than swashing every word, header, or border in every variation of every color in the rainbow, try choosing two or three solid colors either you like or that represent your business and go with those. J2K Productions. We just do it better. Find out how at J2KProductions.com. That's J, the number two, the letter K, Productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show. Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is the Guy James Show.
End station. Wink, WNOG. Democratic Radio is on the air now.
Ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream today.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Now here's Guy James.
Welcome. Welcome back to the Guy James Show. So glad to have you along with us this evening on this hot and humid evening here in Southwest Florida. Hope it's nice where you're at, and I hope all of our friends up in the North Gulf area don't get hit. Our prayers and thoughts are with you. Hope nothing bad happens to you. And this thing is going to be a nasty storm up that way. I can barely hear myself. So, anyway, I want to start right off. I've got so much to pack into this last hour. I don't know how I'm going to get it in. Johnny, roll it. Let's go to tape number three.
Mount Lauer says, is the insurgency that's wearing on people, is it the insurgency that's starting to wear people down about this, Chris?
It's this insurgency, which we didn't expect, obviously, and this sense of murkiness. When's it ever going to end? Now, in all fairness, too, the administration people and the hawks who supported the war from day one said, oh, this is going to be like World War II. We're going to win. It's going to be a clear victory. We're going to march into Tokyo and into Berlin. They're going to be practicing democracy the next day and playing baseball, and everything's going to be great. They were wrong. It isn't World War II. It doesn't have that clarity. I think it's the murkiness.
No, Chris. Again, you missed it. And nobody ever said it's going to be like walking in and playing baseball the next day. That's in your dreams. This has always been portrayed as something that's going to be hard. It's part of the war on terror, and no end date was ever given. And the ease with which all this was going to happen was never stated.
Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Should we just give Rush the perpetual honor of Liar of the Week on our program? Should we just vote that in, all the staff here? Let's just make him Liar of the Week, because he is. He's the most listened to radio personality in America, and the guy's a showman. I'll give him that. He's good at what he does, but he's the greatest BSer that was ever on the radio. He tells one big fat lie after another, after another, after another. We catch him. A lot of people catch him. Play it back, throw it in his face, and he keeps right on with it the next week. And all the people sitting at home listening to Rush go, that's right, Rush. That's right. You keep telling them, Rush. how can it be? You heard us last week playing a clip of Rush saying he didn't say what what he just had said on a clip we had for you, and denying he said something, and he very obviously did. And this week, he tries to tell his audience that Chris Matthews didn't know what he was talking about when a lot of Bush people said this was going to be. No, Chris, you missed it. Nobody's ever said this is going to be like walking in and playing baseball the next day. That's in your dreams. Mr. Limbaugh, you know what I'm about to tell you is true, and you've heard this. So why did you think you'd get away with that lie? And once again, we want to challenge Mr. Limbaugh anytime to come on this program and try and explain away his drug-induced lies. On March the 16th, and Limbaugh was saying that nobody in the Bush administration ever said this is going to be a cakewalk. On March the 16th, 2003, broadcast of CBS Face the Nation, let me remind you that Dick Cheney said, and I quote, "I think the war will go relatively quickly." When host Bob Schieffer pressed the vice president to offer a more precise estimate of how long the war would take, Cheney replied, "Weeks rather than months. My belief is we will, in fact, be greeted as liberators by the Iraqi people." Does that sound like the Vice President of the United States saying this was going to be tough? On February 7th of 2003, at the Aviano Air Force Base in Italy, Rumsfeld projected that the Iraq War could last 6 days, 6 weeks, I doubt 6 months. Sure, Donnie boy, sure. The Washington Post op-ed, Ken Edelman, a high-level Bush administration figure, you know, a member of the Defense Policy Board, stated, "I believe demolishing Hussein's military power and liberating Iraq would be a cakewalk." I see. So once again, we give Mr. Limbaugh the honor of being the liar of the week. We got to get some kind of a jingle made up for that liar of the week. I see Johnny's eyes lighting up already. He said, "Oh yeah, we got to do that one." And before I go any farther, speaking of liars, and I'm going to get to the phone in just a minute. Don't go anywhere, folks. We got a whole board full over there. 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. I'm going to be very charitable when I say that the Bush administration has either made some horrendous mistakes in regard to this war, or blunders, or whatever you want to call them, or they flat-out lied to the American people. And you've heard me say this over and over again. What I just cannot understand is this. When Bush ran for the presidency, he promised the people a government which would, and you got sick of hearing this, I know I did, we're going to be accountable to the people. How many times did you hear that? We're going to be accountable to the people. He lauded accountability both for the government and personal accountability over and over and over again. Has George Bush, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice, has a damn one of them done personal accountability for this mess? My question is, when has Bush or his administration ever shown one tiny speck of accountability themselves? Anything at all. Anything. Give me an example. We know for a fact that the Iraq War, now known forevermore as the Bush War, is a terrible mistake or blunder, or whatever you want to call it. Personally, I think it was all a big lie. What I don't understand is why no one has been held accountable. Think about this. No one has been held accountable. In fact, we know that some of those who spoke these lies or made blunders were not held accountable, but instead they were promoted or given medals, as with Condoleezza Rice and George Tenet. They've tried to weasel out from under the big lie about WMDs, and they now say they were there to save the Iraqi people because we care for them so much. Anyone want to explain to me how someone could say that after we, in fact, bombed them and killed them with sanctions for the past decade or more? Now we care for them. So are we to believe that all of a sudden we just love them so much that we're willing to sacrifice the lives of 2,000 American soldiers to get rid of a tin-horn dictator like Saddam, a guy we once supported until he wasn't any longer useful to us? Does that story sound familiar? Can you say Noriega? The point here is, are they knowingly lying to us, or are they just crazy? I mean that. They seem totally detached from reality concerning Iraq. The constant progress, progress, progress statements by Bush, the insurgency's in its last throes by Cheney, and the constant updates on how many Iraqis have been trained for the army that Rumsfeld likes to tell us. So which is it? Are they lying to us? Convinced that we're stupid enough to believe them, and apparently there are millions of Americans who actually are that stupid? Or are they crazy? That's not a very pleasant choice, is it? I don't know about you, but I'm scared for the future of my country when I see people like this at the top and realize that the Democratic Party leadership has remained mostly silent about the whole thing. It's a hell of a note when the mother of a fallen soldier has to be the leader of the opposition. She's got guts, but how many of the so-called Democratic Party leaders can claim that? Not very many right now. Not very many. Shameful. Absolutely shameful. Has one United States senator expressed support for Cindy Sheehan? Let me ask you another question. How many United States senators on the Democratic side have actually come out and said, we got to end this war now? Huh? You know how many. Let's go to John Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Well, good evening, sir. I want to ask you, first of all, what is Dr. Dobson a doctor of?
He's not a doctor of theology. I know that. I think he's a psychologist of some kind.
Psychologist, okay.
He's a nutcase is what he is.
Somebody asked me what he was. But, you know, the right to demonstrate in this country, I mean, this is what the country's all about. And for people to criticize Mrs. Sheehan for what she's doing is ridiculous. And my wife happened to be in the car with me twice where we heard people talking about this Operation Pink group that's up at the hospital. And in the morning, the host was really reading a riot act how bad they were. And in the evening, the host on that show was given a rude awakening when they described what their mission was, and that was to inform people that our men coming back were having to pay for their meals, pay for some medical attention, pay for things that the government should be paying for, and because they demonstrated and they spoke up, they've gotten these things through the Congress for our men to get better pay, better insurance, not to have to buy and pay for their meals while they're staying in the military hospital and so forth. So it's very important that these Republicans realize that we need demonstrations. In fact, they're going to want to demonstrate sometime. And when that time comes, they're going to have to start eating their words. Now, I heard of...
Most of them don't have the guts to go out and demonstrate. Let's just say it like it is.
Well, that's true, but when their ox starts to get gored, they'll be out there. You just believe me. I also heard a program, and a military man who served in Iraq called up, and he said, "Do you know why we are at war?" And, of course, the host says, I don't know why are we at war. And this man had words that I just think we all should remember. The failure of the politicians. And you look at what we have in office now. We talk about it every day. George Bush, not many people like this guy. I don't run into anybody that's in favor of this war or like this man. It's going to be a rarity when I do run into somebody. He has no knowledge of anything. He doesn't read papers. He admits this. He doesn't read papers. He doesn't read books. He doesn't want to be confused with the facts.
He seems real proud of the fact.
Yes. And so when you're relying on information that you could go out and read yourself and know yourself, he relies on people to tell him. Well, how does he know what he's being told? And this is Rumsfeld's war, and Rumsfeld is a liar. He believed Ahmed Chalabi because he wanted to believe Ahmed Chalabi when Chalabi was telling him all about these weapons of mass destruction that don't exist. So here we have a president. You know, when you read the Constitution, what are the qualifications to hold office in this country?
Well, it depends which office. You got to be a certain age. Most of them, you got to be born in the U.S. for the presidency anyway.
Right. But there's no other qualifications. This guy could be as dumb as a doorknob.
Yeah.
And he's pretty close to it. And this is the kind of people we elect. And why do these Republicans look up to this man, think he's a god, and thinks that he knows everything about how to do things in this country and in this world?
As I live and breathe, I will never, ever, ever have an understanding of how the American people got duped by this guy.
Well, maybe they'll call up, but, your Republican love, I love it when you read these things and the misspelling
Well, and let me tell you something, John. I couldn't read the ones I got this week because the ones this week were the most insane, vile, nasty, filthy emails that I've gotten since I started doing this show some 2 3/4 years ago.
Well, see, I just don't understand this. This is supposed to be the elite group in our country.
They're
the,
worried.
The way they sell themselves, but they can't spell, they can't construct a good sentence. And so on and so on. And when you read this stuff in the filthy language and the name-calling that they do, I think we're dragging the bottom of the barrel. Republicans aren't just, you know, they're going to have to...
You know, the thing is, John, they know it. They know the intellect of this guy. They know how he's dragging them down, and they're mad as hell. And they're mad as hell at anybody they can get a hold of right now, and they're not going to admit failure or being wrong, ever.
Well, it's just... And, of course, we have Pat Robertson's, which I must dwell on for a moment.
You had
You had that great guy on in the earlier interview with this Christian and this Bible stuff and so forth. Here's a man who's supposed to be a good Christian and so forth, violates 3 commandments in what he said the other day. And nowhere do I find in the Old Testament or the New Testament or the Koran where it says that you have to go out and kill people like this man was indicating. The 10 commandments tell you absolutely not. And for these Christians to justify a war or killing or anything, it is just the same as these Muslims saying their Quran justifies that. None of the religious writings do that. And God created this planet and the people in it, and he loves them all. He doesn't single out the people in the United States. He doesn't single out the Russians or the Muslims. He loves everybody. And he must be shedding tears that we are destroying this planet on a daily basis. The buildings people have constructed in Iraq, just all across the board, and then killing people on top of that. God doesn't like that,
that's
folks. And
sure.
You Christians, you're not Christians if you believe that you're supposed to be doing that.
John, thank you for your call. You know, it's so true. Clearly, the comments of Pat Robertson defy the entire framework we find in the Gospels of Jesus Christ. You know, you don't see anywhere in the Gospels of Christ where he condones murder. You just don't see that, or advocates murder or political assassination. You know, Jesus always reminded everybody to be aware of the Pharisees, and believe me, Robertson and James Dobson and the others have become the true Pharisees of our contemporary world. I don't think there's any question about that. I have to wonder about anybody that follows Pat Robertson. You know, he's a nut. I mean, I just don't think there's any... You know, first he said this last week about assassinating Chavez, and he came out the very next day and said he didn't use that word. Do they know about videotape? I have to wonder. But you know, I watch this guy, and he truly is crazy, and you think about that he's got millions of followers, millions of people watch that program of his, and you know, to their credit... the World Evangelical Alliance and the National Association of Evangelicals have already denounced Robertson's words. And when are we going to hear from some of these groups from the religious right, such as, and listen to these names, the Family Research Council, the Southern Baptist, and the other leaders like James Dobson and Tony Perkins and Chuck Colson? When are those people going to come out and say, hey, I'm sorry, the man shouldn't say that, he doesn't represent that, he's a nutcase? But not a word from any of them. You know, the Gospels admonish all of us to do unto others as they'd have them do unto you. And I just don't see that in these present-day evangelical Christian leaders like Robertson and Falwell. And make no mistake about it, these people do speak for this administration. They elected this administration, and they've been speaking for them. And you know, you look at the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, come unto me, all of you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He does not say, come to me, those who are looking for political expediency, and I'll show you who and how to assassinate. Don't remember that any place in the Bible. And I'm not saying Chavez is any kind of a saint, because he isn't. But Robertson is a nutcase, and I'm amazed at the lack of the outcry from the right this week. Where was the White House coming out saying, "Hey, we do not agree with Mr. Robertson. He does not speak for us." They didn't say it, did they? They didn't say a word. They didn't deny it. Because they know Guys like Pat Robertson and James Dobson and Jerry Falwell got them by the gonads and control what the Republican Party does right now. They know that. And so Bush is in the unenviable position of having a nutcase like Pat Robertson say this insanity that he said the other day, inviting the world to assassinate our president, in essence, do unto others as they would do unto you, because that is what would happen if we start assassinating world leaders. And I must say, in Chavez's case, a man who won his election that was monitored by three world organizations won it with 70% of the vote. Now, whether you like the guy or not, he was democratically elected by 70% of the people of Venezuela. And we've got an idiot, a moron, a nutcase, a wacko like Pat Robertson saying we've got to assassinate him in the name of the United States, and the president whom he is speaking for, make no doubt about that, doesn't say a word? Oh, how would you like to be in that position, being Bush, knowing he can't say anything? He can't. He can't say anything because he's gonna offend Pat Robertson's followers, and he's going to offend people like Falwell. And here we have, and you know how I know that these right wingers they don't want to condemn Robertson. Johnny, give me cut number 5.
But first, Pat Robertson caused a bit of a media firestorm this week when he advocated, some say, the assassination of Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. Now, Pat Robertson apologized for those remarks today.
Hannity said, some say?
Some say the assassination of Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. Now,
can we do that one more time?
Some say the assassination of Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. Now,
what was Hannity doing right there? Making excuses and trying to pawn this off as some sort of a mistake. Some say. Hell, Sean, everybody says. Everybody knows it. Everybody's got a TV set. Everybody's got ears. He said it. And yet you, Sean Hannity, are trying to pretend that he didn't. Trying to convince your listeners that he didn't necessarily say that. So here we've got a president of the United States who's beholden to this guy. Has got to be biting his tongue. He's got to be wanting to go out and, I hope, if he's any kind of a decent human being at all, got to come out and say something about it. But his handler's car was, no, you can't, better not say anything against them. That Christian Coalition will get you, man. You can't. We need them. Don't forget, we had every minister in the fundamentalist Christian evangelical churches in the United States telling all of their flock they had to vote for you, George. You can't go out and say anything against them right now. You better not. That's what happened. Oh. Where are we going to go here? I better go up and talk to Eric. He's up in Vermont, and he's been waiting a long time. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Guy. How you doing?
Good.
You're having a great show. You got to go back and listen to this one. It's really good.
Well, thank you.
You did an excellent interview with both of your guests tonight, Mikey and Greg Rollins. Very impressive interviews. Did a great job.
Thank you. A couple of good guys, interesting people.
Very interesting. Basically, I just wanted to call and say how much I am in support of what your show has been doing tonight. Boy, I couldn't top anything that you guys have been doing on this show tonight.
Well,
I did want to know if it would be all right for me to gear some of your listeners towards a march that's going to be held in September later on.
24th of September?
Yes, sir.
You go right ahead, Eric.
Basically, there is a United for Peace and Justice organization that is organizing a massive march and rally and festival at the Washington Monument on Saturday, the 24th of September. I can give you the whatever.
Please do.
UnitedForPeace.org, and I would like to have your listeners get on there if they have any interest in trying to actively opposing what this Bush war is all about. It's, as I said again, UnitedForPeace.org.
Very good. Very good. Yes, that's going to be a big affair. We had over 150,000 people turn out for the vigils last week around the country, and that was summoned up rather quickly. This one got a month advance on it, and you know, I've been checking myself on flights into Washington and all that sort of thing. Love to go to that, and I don't know. The show's budget doesn't allow for big expenditures like that, but love to go and cover that thing right there. But that's going to be big. I think it's going to be real big.
Well, if I win the Powerball, I'll front you a mobile station, but it's not likely.
Okay.
I'm only paying about $65 for a bus ride 10 to 12 hours from Vermont. But we have a lot of people from Vermont going down there, and from what I've seen about the organization and the events and updates, there should be an awful lot of people sitting on Washington Monument around 11 o'clock.
Well, I certainly hope so, Eric, and I thank you very much for letting our audience know about it.
Well, thank you for being there, and it's still a great show.
Thank you. You know, I happen to know you can get a round-trip ticket from Fort Myers, Florida, nonstop to Washington, D.C. for $153 for that deal. That's a pretty good bit. Not since I mentioned that right now. That's a little secret I should have kept to myself. Probably be full when I go back on there looking at it now. But let's go on up to Jacksonville. Mike in Jacksonville. Hi, Jack. Mike.
What a great honor to speak to you again, sir.
Good to have you with us, Mike.
I am listening on the internet since I can't get you on the radio anymore. But
coming to us from Florida's largest city.
Yeah, well, the country's largest city in terms of square miles.
That's right.
What I wanted to say today is something that I don't know whether you covered because I just tuned in, but this Cindy Sheehan thing has got me a little bit perturbed here.
Why?
I think that she has every right to say what she says, and she has every privilege in this country to do this. There have been several talk show hosts, such as Mike Gallagher, who tried to organize a bus trip from Arlington, Texas, or Fort Worth, Texas, to the Crawford Ranch a couple weeks ago.
I was there.
You were there?
Yes.
And how many people turned out in his favor versus what Cindy had?
It was really laughable. You had this pathetic little group get off of his bus, and him with his military jacket and his little megaphone is shouting, "We don't care, we don't care," across at the Sheehan people. It was not much. And I'd tell you, I mean, if I thought it was something impressive, I would tell you.
I didn't know, but I was down in Arlington, Texas, doing some training, not too far from Fort Worth. And their main station over there that he broadcasts out of, they had this thing going all night trying to get people to fund the buses and sandwiches and sweet tea and the whole deal and black and white cookies and it was crazy. And then last week the radio is very conservative up here. You either get the right wing religious broadcast or the conservative talk show host. You don't have any Democratic or Air America broadcasting at all. But this guy, Michael Medved, I'm sure you know who that is. He said, quote unquote, "Well, if you don't support the troops, if you can't support the war, you can't support the troops." And he was arguing for the fact that this poor woman had really no reason to even protest and say the things that she said, having never lost anybody in any kind of a war, and he was just going on drinking the Kool-Aid, doing the Jim Jones routine, and I'm just tired of it. When 36% of the people approve of this man's antics in office, and so many people are opposed to the war, these guys are continually apologizing on the right for the things that he does, and Sean Hannity, of all people, saying that Pat Roberts did not say that, when I clearly heard with my own ears, I know I can't see, guy, but I sure can hear, and that's what he said. He said, "Take the guy out, assassinate him." Now, what did he mean by taking the guy out? Did he want to have a date with him?
Oh, it was funny.
I don't think so.
When he came back the next day, he said, "Well, there's a lot of ways of taking the guy out. I didn't mean to assassinate him."
Well, he said it.
Yeah.
He said it right on the air, and man, I heard it with my own ears.
That's a fact. Mike, good to hear from you. Thank you so much. I got a
word. All right, sir. Have a great night.
Thank you. Yeah, they'll do their best. They try and spin it. I mean, I heard Limbaugh this week trying to say that the Army's recruiting numbers were way up. Oh, my God, what another fat lie that was. I'm amazed that they get away with it. Hey, we got a break at the bottom of the hour, and we've got a lot to talk about in this last half hour. We got to get about 3 hours worth of stuff into a half hour. We'll give it a try. Yeah, stay tuned.
This is the Democrat Radio Network.
She was just another American mother, lost her son in a war. Death is hard when it goes so young, when they die for nothing, it hurts even more. The greatest love is the love of a mother. Out of a substance the body is formed, out of her dreams the soul goes walking. Sometimes the dream dies hard. God bless you, Cindy Sheehan, for walking this road you are. Many more sons may live a little longer, even though your son is gone. The president lied to his people. It ducked when its time came to fight. He's a man without honor or any regret. And justice will gather him, yeah. You may think God's not watching, but we're living proof God is real. Yeah, sometimes God wakes up in people. That's something you see and you feel. God knows our country is troubled. God sees our leaders are blind. And God is speaking to the love of a mother. Open your heart and your mind. God bless you, Cindy Sheehan, for walking this road you are on. Many more sons may live a little longer, even though Casey is gone. The president lied to his people. He ran when his time came to fight. He's a man without honor or any regret. Justice will gather him, yeah, oh, yes it will. I don't always know what the truth is, but a lie isn't that hard to see. Whatever is living in this woman's heart, I hope it'll wake up in me. The rich and the powerful tremble when the truth appears at their door. One simple woman in a state of conviction, and look, I see 10 million more. Yes, look, I see 10 million more. God bless you, Cindy Sheehan, for walking this road you are on. Many more sons may live a little longer, even though your son is gone. The president lied to his people. He hid when his time came to fight. He's a man without honor or any regret. And justice will gather him, yeah. God bless you, Cindy Sheehan.
We at the Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Ann Ross, New York, New York. Luciano Rossetti, Cape Coral, Florida. Alice Knowlton, Milford, Massachusetts. Dave Goggin, Eureka, California. Annette Benner, Marysville, Washington. Joe and Nancy Vogel, St. Paul, Minnesota. Juan Puerto, Fort Myers, Florida. Sarah Kay, Santa Fe, New Mexico. And Marcia Johns, Merritt Island, Florida. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135. While the radical right spin their heads off, all that's left is the truth. You're on The Guy James Show.
Oh, yes, and naturally, we always leave somebody off the list, and I'll even probably leave some more off the list, but I also wanted to thank Carolyn Patton Dushke from Linwood, Massachusetts, and Elaine and Virginia Miller. We don't have two more loyal people than Elaine Miller and Virginia Miller of beautiful Newton, Iowa. I have been to Newton, Iowa. I love Iowa. Being a farm boy myself, you got to love Iowa, and especially around Newton. It's a nice place. And I want to thank everybody for donating to the program, and I also want to thank you for your wonderful email and the articles you send and so forth. A lot of you are very diligent about doing that. I appreciate it so very much. I read them all. I don't always have time to respond to all of them, but I do read every single one of them. I want you to know that, and I also want you to know I appreciate it. Now, all my right-wing friends, I don't appreciate some of the stuff you send. Yeah, I guess you knew that. So thanks to all you folks, and a quick reminder, if you will. As you know, the show is run on donations from you, our listeners. And we get some help from some of the Democratic clubs around and so forth. It's expensive to keep the show on the air. And the piggy bank sounds rather empty right now. And there's probably never been a time when we needed your donations to the show more than we need them right now. And I do want you to know that. And we're serious about that. So if you like good radio, you like what we do here, I hope you'll throw in a couple of bucks into the kitty. And again, you can do that at www.theguyjamesshow.com. And our snail mail address is on that address too. So I do want to thank you so very much. But pass that on. Tell everybody the piggy bank is woefully empty, and we need some help right now. We really do. Getting back to the phones here in just a moment. You know, we got this Iraqi Constitution debacle. We got so much we won't be able to talk about tonight. And it's the trouble with having all this pent-up stuff for the entire week. I can't get to everything I want to talk about. Isn't it interesting that George Bush's presidential skin rests with the Iraqi Shia and the Sunnis making nice with one another? Have you thought about that? Something that has never happened. If Bush didn't realize this fact, then he's a whole lot dumber than I first thought. If you think Bush really cares about the welfare of the Iraqi people, think again. This whole Iraqi Constitution thing has been nothing more than a well-orchestrated publicity stunt for the Bush administration to be able to say, see, we've helped the Iraqi people by making them a democracy. Democracy? How many of you have read what's in that Constitution so far? We got a document which states from the get-go that Islam is the official state religion. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Islam. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Catholicism or Judaism or anything. I'm not saying that. You know I'm not saying that. But I do find something wrong with coming out and saying in your Constitution that any one of those is the official state religion. We Americans, for example, didn't we start fleeing to this country from jolly old because of something like that? And so here we are pushing this new country, this new conglomeration over there to get together and write a constitution, and the very first thing they put in it is that Islam is the official state religion, and they're going to call it. It's a farce. And anyone who kept track of the whole sorry process can see that Bush only cares about this Iraqi Constitution business because it might save face for his administration. How wrong could he be? Again. You know, it makes him look like a buffoon once again. He's out there on Wednesday saying what a great document it was, and he didn't even know that it contained the clause which stated Islam is the official state religion of Iraq. Wouldn't you have thought one of his underlings might have told him about that, but he didn't know it. It was clear he did not know it. What are we dealing with here? God, I don't know. We're going to go to Juan in Fort Myers. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Guy. Guy, just to follow up on what that last caller said, you know, when you went to Crawford, Texas, you reported the news. You talked with Sandy Sheehan, and you told us what's over there. Now, when these Republican people are going down there from and Northern California, whatever it is, they're coming, that lady, that radio talk show hostess, that Republican, right-wing nut over there, when she's coming down there, she's bringing a caravan. And so she is not reporting the news. She's changing the news. She's making the news. And that's the difference, essentially, between the Republicans and the Democrats, as far as I'm concerned, and as far as the news goes. The reason I call it because, you know, the Republicans always complain that, as liberals complain, you know, just to get personal with what we say and really don't discuss the issues, but let's discuss the moral values, Democrats versus Republicans. Republicans' moral values, that, you know, they want to get the religion into the, you know, want to bring the into the out of the church, into the schools, into the government, into the courts, and into the government. And the other moral issues that is gays, abortion, and stem cell. Okay, now the Democrats, they are for the moral issues, poverty, justice, and they deal with race issues and peace. Now, you take your pick. I would rather stay with the latter than the ones before. If they're so religious, would let them, you know, go to church. Stay at church and do whatever they do there. You know, we liberals tell the American people the truth and expose the right Republican lies and the smoke screens. And the media nowadays is not doing their job. They don't ask the right. They don't ask the question. They don't challenge when Bush says your employment is the highest that it's ever been. Well, it's because there's more Americans now, and the media doesn't say it's not a high percentage of Americans that are employed, and exposes lies. It's misleading the American people. The president of the United States doing that. Imagine that, and the media not calling him on it. When he says that the economy is doing well, the economy is doing well for the upper 4%, and they're doing, you know, very well, but the working person can buy less with their money. For, you know, for example, someone on minimum wage have to work, I heard on the radio the other day, 86 hours just to get affordable housing. Why don't they ask them, you know, if they're doing so well, why is the poor are getting more poor? They don't ask. The media is just falling asleep. They're just drunk with lies, and they don't question it.
I don't think they can help themselves anymore. I mean, they're so used to it. They just, you know, the lies just roll off the tongue so easily. And you know, nobody challenges them.
I know. It's incredible. You know, Tom DeLay has passed, or when the energy bill passed, he put on there at 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, figure that. That would be typical for Tom DeLay. Put in an addendum to the energy bill after it was passed, where it gets a windfall for Bush's friends in Texas, the oil business, of over $1 billion. That's our tax money that he just stole at 4 o'clock in the morning and gave it to some Texans over there that said they needed more. You know, this guy's over there in Texas, one of those companies, I heard that it was making last quarter $7 billion. They don't know what to do with their money, and here we're you know, cutting our vacations short, having to make adjustments to our, you know, what we do because of the price of gas, and nobody's questioning that.
That's right. That's right. Juan, I have to move along. I got to get a couple more calls in. I certainly appreciate your support of the program, and I most certainly appreciate your good call.
Thank you.
You know, Juan brought up an interesting point before I take my next call here about the economy. Have you heard him saying how good the economy is right now? I made it a point today to interview some small business people. And I'm not going to name any of them by name, but I know some of them are listening, and they know who I'm talking about. I interviewed some folks that have a jewelry store. I know them well. Their honest quote to me was, business has never been worse. I interviewed a lady whom I know who's an upscale home decorator. And her business is doing quite well right now, actually, because she works with upscale people. And like they always say, one thing money can't buy is poverty. And she deals with people who have money and the upscale, so she's doing fine, which goes to show you what Juan was just saying about the upper several percent. I know some people very well who own a picture store that sells beautiful framed artwork and mirrors and so forth. Not necessarily upscale. Part of it is, part of it isn't. Their business is down 50% over last year. 50%. Economy's doing so well. Talked to a lady in a clothing store that I know. It doesn't have high-end clothing, just clothing for your average shopper. Said she's holding her own. Things aren't better or worse, as she's holding her own. So, you know, those are some honest anecdotal stories from people I know, and I could introduce to you to many, many, many people that would tell you the same stories I just heard for a fact. Let's go to Juanita in Winter Haven.
Hi,
Juanita.
There's someone talking same time you're talking.
Oh.
It's kind of like an echo.
Oh.
But anyway, first of all, I'd like to ask who sings that song?
I cannot tell you at the moment.
Okay. it's very appealing. Excellent show, excellent interviews, excellent commentary.
Well, thank you very much, Juanita.
Yes. And excellent people calling in, and I like the way you handle the right winger. But I just wanted to say, this is a verse that Jesus said. It's in the book of John, 10:10. It says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly."
It doesn't say anything about assassinating leaders of other countries, does it? No. We need to thank you for your call.
Okay, yeah, have a good evening.
Let's see. Let's go to John in Fort Myers. Hello, John.
Well, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Couple things. First of all, when you call it Bush's war, I think it's totally appropriate because, as we've talked about so many times, never once did the Constitution, which called for Congress to declare war. The president legally didn't have the right to declare war. He declared war.
He most certainly did.
And he's got to take ownership for it. And since we have to question the legality and constitutionality of it. Second point, if I could make it to you. What is the difference between Osama bin Laden, who declares war, and Pat Robertson, who calls for assassinating world leaders?
They've both called for murder. One of them has carried it out. The other one hasn't, that I know of. Although Pat Robertson has no compunction about associating with murderous dictators in Africa, I don't know why he complains about Chavez so much.
Well, I really begin to see a similarity, especially with your first guest describing the issue of Christian fundamentalism and Islamic fundamentalism. They seem to be very, very similar. You know, it's like the old Crusades. Is there a difference?
Well, I can't say I disagree with you, John.
And I think people need to look at it. Maybe some of this religious zealotry that we have in this world is responsible for all that's going on. And unfortunately, we seem to have religious zealots running our country and religious zealots opposing us, and the people in moderation that you're talking about and you're representing are barely having a voice. And that's the danger that I see.
Yes, I agree.
I think that's what your first guest was pointing out so well tonight and so ably. And when you talk about the Iraq becoming an Islamic republic, and we're becoming, as your first guest said, a Christian republic, it's getting to be very much of a religious war, and that is the problem that bothers me, especially when we seem to be violating, as your first guest said, the Constitution of the United States. We've violated it in so many different ways.
John, I couldn't agree more. John, I have to move on. I've got a couple more callers I have to get in this evening.
Well, you're running a great show, and I think people need to look at the Constitution, and that's my major point.
Exactly. Please do, everybody. Take a good look at it. You let us know if you see.
Thank you, Guy.
Thank you. If you see that the President of the United States has the power to declare any war right now. I got to go to Bill in Toledo, Ohio. I got to talk to Bill because Bill wants to talk about something that's a story I'm very interested in. Hi, Bill.
Good evening, Guy. How are you tonight?
I'm pretty well, thank you.
Listen, I'm going to be real quick for you so you can get some more calls in. Listen, I got a new website for you, and it's called MoveOnTap.org.
MoveOnTapped.
Yeah, now this is two opposite ends of the political, whatchamacallit, they're completely opposite ends. And they've launched this to impeach Taft. And it came out in, April the 3rd of this year, Taft came out and said the first time that he had learned of this coin scandal with Tom Noe was when he seen it in the papers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Sure.
I don't know if you knew this, but they had a little roast in 2004 of August the 24th of 04. And here's what Mr. Taft, Governor Taft, said. He says, and when you think about it, there are a lot of similarities between Tom and the Turnpike. He's always taking our money. So he said that he didn't know anything about this, but he knew that I'm absolutely sure of it, that Tom Noe had his hands in this Bureau of Workmen's Compensation money. And now I honest to God believe that Taft is going to be impeached, and it will be the first time in Ohio that a city governor has ever been impeached.
Well, I'm hearing the remarkable tale from a couple of friends of mine who live in Columbus are telling me that right now, because this scandal is getting wider and wider and wider and will eventually encompass the Bush campaign fund in Ohio, which accepted money from all these guys, that they're saying that the Democrats don't really want to impeach him. They want him to stay in office, and it's the Republicans who are wanting him out right now.
Well, you can understand that, but it's like I say, these two political organizations are at complete opposite ends, and they're going together with this MoveOnTap.org to take and work on his impeachment. And I honest to God believe that he's going to be impeached. And, you know, on this fund, they had like 150 different whatchamacallits working for the Bureau of Workmen's Compensation with that amount of money, 6, 8, 10 different, you know, like Fidelity or, you know, these other big fund managers could have managed that money. But this SEC sent letter after letter to Ohio saying that you're paying out too much money, and it was all just pay to play. The more people that were involved in that fund, the more political contributions they could get. So it's really something what's happening in Ohio. There's not one single time that you can pick up the blade. They've done such an excellent job on it, on covering it all. And I didn't want to cover you the last 2 weeks to tell you anything, but, you know, because that was a great show. Even as hard as, you know, a time that you had there in Crawford, Texas, I just absolutely loved it.
Well, thank you
and
very much,
And last week's show was the same. But listen, I'm going to let you go so you can get some more callers in.
Thanks. Good to hear from you, Bill.
Okay, and nice talking to you, Guy.
I want to take a couple of minutes, if I can, and my apologies to everybody that's still on the phone. I'm not going to be able to get to any more callers. We've got so many folks still waiting on the line. I just can't get to them all. I hear from these folks that have this little website called Capitol Hill Blue. And I want to engage in a little gossip right now. I'm not going to swear for the veracity of what I'm about to tell you, but I can tell you this. Capitol Hill Blue gets their information from interns at the White House, people who are at the White House, working at the White House, lifers that work there and aren't necessarily political. They get a lot of information from people like that to tell the dirty little secrets out of the White House, just like happened to Bill Clinton, you know. What was that woman's name at No, not Monica. The woman that broke the story about Monica, until she worked at the White House again. Anyway, I can't think of her name. Had the facelift and the whole bit. I can't think of it. Linda Tripp. Linda Tripp, yeah. Well, there's lots of Linda Tripps in the White House. And so they feed their little stories to these folks that are down at Capitol Hill Blue. And I thought I'd tell you some of the stories at Capitol Hill Blue. And now I remind you once again, I can't swear to the veracity of this is gossip coming from the staffers at the White House about Mr. George W. Bush, about how he's half nuts. And some of the things he says. He said when it was suggested to him that he meet with Cindy Sheehan, it's reported that he said, "I'm not meeting with that god bitch." At George Bush, she can go to hell as far as I'm concerned. That's what he supposedly said. Mr. Bush, his aides confide, frequently explodes into tirades over those who protest the war, calling them MFing traitors, if you get my drift there. Yeah. He said, "Tell those VFW a-holes that I'll never speak to them again if they can't keep their members under control." All sorts of really cool stuff like that, Mr. President. "And who gives a flying F what the poll said?" he screamed at a recent strategy meeting. "I'm the president, and I'll do whatever I GD please. They don't know blank." Well, it's good to know we've got a president that's, such a neat guy. I think a lot of us. Good Christian indeed. Yes. I love that, I do. Well, we've come to the end of another show, and I'd like to remind you that there is no need to sally forth. This is something, a quote I got, "There's no need to sally forth, for it remains true that those things which make us human are, curiously enough, always close at hand. Resolve, then, that on this very ground, with small flags waving and tiny blast of tiny trumpets, we shall meet the enemy, and not only may he be ours, he may be us." That by Walt Kelly. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Good night, Jeff and Randy, and good night to all of you.
You've been listening to The Guy James Show, the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer Gene Charles. Production director Johnny Johnson with J2K Productions. Program coordinator Lila St. John. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.